You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my tag team partner, Gorilla Monsoon, to my Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mr. Matt Scott. How's it going?
Mari.
What?
Mari.
What? What?
I wasn't ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Sorry. I wasn't ready for that. I didn't expect that. So I'm the grill monster.
That we'd be
your Bobby the
Yes, Brain that would be yes, because you're way nicer than me.
I was born in 1992.
What?
It's just.
What does that mean?
I don't get the references all the time. I know who they are.
Oh, okay, that was my bad.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
I would appreciate someone who's more.
That kind of just sounded like you called me old, though. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just leave it at that. I'm not even going to deny it. I was not trying to, but if it leads to the drama, the heat, let's go. We're trying to get our Rapsomania match going. Our Rapsomania main event.
Build the turn. Yeah, we're starting off shady this morning. Mm-hmm.
How are you doing this morning, though, as I shade you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good week. I've been doing a lot, so I am very tired. I still have more to do before the week is over, podcast wise. Yeah, but it's been so fun. This week in wrestling has also been just like, I think what happens is when we get off schedule with like the wrestling, it throws me off as well. You know what I'm saying? Having a pay-per-view in the middle of the day on a Thursday really just throws you off.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like we are not off schedule. Wrestling is off schedule right now. Like it's not like we can't keep up because it's the train never stops. Like it just keeps moving and turning and then finding forks in the train tracks to continue the metaphor and then like going off the rails anyway.
Right. It does all that and then we're still in an embankment. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what it felt like. Like this week we previewed Crown Jewel so much last week because it was appropriate, you know, for it, that Raw felt inconsequential. Honestly, the only thing that was set up on Raw was the finals for the King of the Ring tournament and the finals for the Queen's Crown. And those, you know, we'll discuss that later. But also one of the other things that we didn't really get to talk, or we won't get to talk about, is how good of a match that Bianca and Charlotte put on Monday this week. It was very good.
Yeah.
Charlotte was injured in there somewhere. Matt,
it was just a messy match. Like it was not messy, but messy finish. And
they ran out of time.
More about it. We'll talk more about it. But there was look, we don't love it. We don't love it. We don't love DQ or whatever you want to call the finish. But you know what? Charlotte had a very interesting week, and I know we'll get to that as we go off.
But now we got to get to the titular Crown Jewel. So
good word.
We found ways. Word. There you go. I know. I've been hanging out with her a lot lately.
Oh. Are you having? Do you have a new tag team partner without me?
What? Yeah, I have a new. I have a new trios team that we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Oh no, yeah. I need to get myself some tag team partners. Maybe our guest today. Well, we'll figure this out. Oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much. We're only 4 minutes in and I don't know if I can handle this one.
Well, so the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, you know, we found a way to watch it. And I mean, it's one of the best pay-per-views of this year, I would honestly say. Honestly, from top to bottom. But I don't know if it's number one. I feel like every time we have a pay-per-view, we say, oh my God, the WWE, this is like the best one. But I think they've been consistently giving us good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like Extreme Rules without the rules was pretty okay. It was pretty good. You know, SummerSlam was the better outing there, if I remember correctly. So it's just like this pay-per-view was stacked like we said it would be.
I mean, I still maybe I have to probably go back and watch it at some point, but just wrestling overall, even beyond WWE at the beginning of September, AEW's All Out was for me next level.
No, so talking about for WWE. Yeah. Best pay-per-view for WWE.
Exactly. And so it's interesting. Yeah, but I'm with you. I think let me just put this out here up front, just to like drop, not drop a bomb, but like just to go dive right in. Like one of the things with the show with Crown Jewel that always throws me off is the women on the card and how they're not able to wear their ring gear. Mm. And that's something that I don't think I've really been able to get that out of my head from like the first time that they had a women's match, which was, I think the Lacey Natalia match a couple years ago, to now. It's just, I guess this is our time to talk about it.
This is our time to talk about it. Yeah.
That's like, maybe we'll get to it later. But no, that always throws me off, especially because we go from like Monday Night Raw, where they're wearing their ring gear, their beautiful ring gear, and then, you know, we follow it up with SmackDown where they're back in their gear, but Crown Jewel, you know, they're still not able to like dress like they want to and like fully be in their characters, which is the thing that throws me off the most with the women's competitors for the most part.
Yeah, I'm of two minds of it. Like, it's hard for me because I feel like you need to respect people's cultural, you know, when it comes to aspects of culture, like, it feels so, you know, Western to me to think like, oh, I'm in your place, but I'm not going to go by your rules. I'm from the West. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go by my rules. So I'm not that, I don't like that. I feel that can be very culturally disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the women covering up for those matches because it's their, I think they're given the choice. You know what I'm saying? Like they're given the, like, if you don't want to cover up, then you don't have the match. You know what I'm saying? In a sense. And you know, we're constantly having that style of debate.
I know
this time, it's a requirement for their culture. And so I don't want to disrespect a culture. But I also understand, I think we talked about it last week, understand that, like, it's not the fans that I have an issue with, because that's another thing. The crowd was just so hot there at Saudi Arabia. They love this product. They love WWE. So a lot of those people, like, I try to kind of follow people who were there and all that. And it means a lot to the actual people there. So I don't want to take away from that. Like, you know, we disagree with some of maybe the political,
I mean, a lot of it, actually.
No. Yeah, exactly.
But I think that I think that's like where the complexity comes in. You know what? Honestly, even going back to my comment, it's not even as much because we could get into the politics of all of it, right?
Right.
Like talking about Saudi Arabia and everything else. We have on the podcast a little bit with like different issues and things that have come up around this, you know, this pay-per-view especially. But one thing I would say is, I think the thing that throws me off is that like the women specifically they have to wear the t-shirts. They don't have like custom gear. That's like, this is the gear that we wear for
their body.
Yeah. I actually thought Bianca probably had something, but it was just her shirt. But
you mean aesthetic. You were just talking about aesthetically.
I'm all about the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Like it just aesthetically threw you off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's me. I'm too much.
No, it's okay.
Too much of the fashion. Too much of the fashion.
Too much of the fashion.
That's why I'm here.
So, the biggest takeaways from Crown Jewel for me was, of course, Seth and Edge. I mean, wow.
So I was watching that match. That was like the one match that I watched with one of my best, with my best friend, Eric. And, you know, it's funny because I was just watching this and he was there watching it and like, what? What's going on? This is wild. Like, this is what's happening in wrestling right now. What? And just like freaking out at everything from like Edge being pushed off of the ropes against the cage through a table and Seth. And just like, or Seth push, Edge pushing Seth push through the table. Mm-hmm. And then like Edge being thrown into the cage multiple times face first and just, all of it is so barbaric, truly.
So much,
But it's like it's interesting to see those moments where people are captivated by what's on the show, and it, you know, I they did such an amazing job with that match. On top of the fact that they did make history for WWE with having, having the, I don't know if it was just the first woman or first female referee to
Hell in a Cell
match. I'm not sure if that's it, but definitely the first female referee to ref the Saudi show, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jessica Carr.
Love, love Lady Ref at Lady Ref Jess on Twitter. And she apparently did their whole trilogy. Like, she did all three of their matches. So it's, that's so amazing. Like, she's so cool. And it just goes to show you, like, it does, anybody can do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, normally when they started introducing lady referees, they just had them refereeing the women's matches. So it's so cool that, like, she's in there in one of the biggest programs and that she will be in all of those clips and talked about. And what people don't, and some people might not understand this, is like the referees do play a part in helping lay out the match, like a huge, huge part. So she was in there, she was being a contributor to this this feud, and Edge thanked her for it. So
yeah, that's the thing that I saw that I really appreciated and loved, was just like a long Facebook post from Edge that was about Jess and how proud he was and how great it is, and to have someone who is that not even seasoned, but like that renowned in the business.
Yeah.
Giving the shout out or giving the rub, as the kids say, is really cool. So if you're checking us out on YouTube, you could see the picture of Jess at WWE Lady Ref on Twitter. And yeah, she did an awesome job. Anything else though about this match that kind of stands out to you, Mari?
Nope, just wanted to just briefly shout it out.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the women's triple threat, which I liked. It was great. It did feel like they were kind of being rushed, though. Maybe because at this point, they went on right before Roman and Brock. Right. And it had already been like 3.5 hours, I want to say. I think the pay-per-view ended up being like 4 something. Like, 4.5. I don't know. But it did kind of feel like at first they were like kind of like rushing through some of their spots and stuff. But it seemed like everything settled down. They all had some really good chemistry. Bianca showed out.
As always. Come on, Bianca. Like, one day, just give us a bad performance. Like, just one. Take a break.
Take your foot off our neck.
Be less perfect. That's what we want.
Right. So like, it was really good. And I mean, we'll talk about it later, famous last words, but like Becky ends up retaining, which Matt called. He also called a title exchange, but the results, but the matches, I really enjoyed the match here. Interesting to see where it's gonna go on Monday.
Yeah.
What did you think, Matt?
It was a really great match. Again, I think I found myself so distracted because I'm used to seeing them like in their gear doing their thing. So I don't know if that like affects them in the ring or how they move about the ring or how they work. I don't know if there's. I actually do wonder, and I'd be so curious to know if there's like anything different about how they wrestle under that in like being on the Saudi shows than normally, but it felt different, but it's a dream match on paper. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was a really solid match. I think
that
Bianca always looks so great in the matches. Like they make her look so great as a competitor and highlight her, literally highlight her strength time and time and time and time again. Yeah. And so I love that. That to me just always makes me feel good that they always make her look so good. And I'm glad that like Sasha is in the spot that she's in, where apparently we will, we'll talk about this more, but we'll probably see her with Charlotte from here on. And then of course, Becky and Bianca probably have a score to settle. So we'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm pumped. I'm like, this was awesome.
Exactly. So we'll see where it goes, because the last 3 weeks have been really good with just banger match after banger match after banger match, but to do all of that and still have the same results is kind of like right. Anyways, one of the biggest highlights that we'll talk about right now is Roman versus Brock. That was a very Roman Brock match, a lot of hard hitting, a lot of multiple finishing moves. Like, I got to put him down. I have to do 4 Superman punches and 3 spears, and Brock F5 Roman at least like 3 times. And they have such good chemistry together. Oh, he took him back to Suplex City, of course. But then we get the ref bump.
Yeah,
which look, Charles Robinson great.
And his, the thing that's hilarious to me about bumps. one of the things that's hilarious to me about WWE is that like whenever they know that like a spot or something in a match was nailed, they will like replay and replay and replay and replay. Was that Chad Patton as the ref in that match? I don't know who the ref.
No, that was Lil Nate.
Off the top of my head,
that was Lil Nate. That was Charles Robinson.
Yeah, Charles Robinson. So he like
he takes the hardest bumps. I swear to gosh.
Exactly. So that was they played that time and time again. But that was awesome to see. Paul Heyman played a very interesting role in this match.
We got both the champ, both you got Roman and Brock laying like dead.
Literally, this man,
like he puts parallel to each other. Yeah.
And he's like, you know what to do, and throws the championship right in the middle.
Directly in the middle.
What a great performer. That's the best thing that Paul Heyman's ever done in wrestling. I might argue.
And then also the promo before the match, he was like, they're like, Paul, well, it's been crazy the last few weeks. Are you Brock's advocate? Blah, 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 blah. And he does a little bit of whatever. But he says, the one thing I know is I am entering the ring with the reigning, defending WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion, whatever. And he said, and I will leave the ring with the reigning, defending Universal Champion. And I was like, that wasn't a name. That was not a name.
Fire him.
Sir. That wasn't a name.
Fired.
Fired. That sounds like no matter what, who won, you was going to be leaving with them. So, I love that.
And again, we will talk more about Paul Heyman during the SmackDown portion of this show. Mm-hmm. I don't trust him. He's fine. Why would it talk? I'm going to calm myself down because I would fire him very quickly.
But we do have one question before we move on from Crown Jewel from Alex from the Job Hazard Squadcast Facebook group. He says, why does this company still want to try to make people think that Goldberg is still the 1990s version of himself? The Crown Jewel pay-per-view as a whole was good, or at least inoffensive. Seeing them book Goldberg to beat the Hurt Business, but primarily the recent former WWE champion in Bobby Lashley, just does not help anybody and more so damages Lashley. So, I mean, I can see that, Alex, but I mean, we saw this coming. When you make something personal about a child, and that's the baby face, and then you add a stipulation like no holds barred, and he's an older person. Like, we all knew Goldberg was winning. Like, I mean, we knew this was winning. He was winning. The good thing, though, is that he didn't beat Bobby Lashley like how he beat Dolph Ziggler with just a spear and a jackhammer.
And knocking his shoes off.
Right, like... I understand why we can be mad and be like, man, Goldberg shouldn't have went over on Bobby Lashley, but at least it took like 80 spears, a really nice jackhammer by Goldberg, by the way, like, you know, with the Lashley assist, but it looked good, you know?
Yeah. A good finish.
Had to put him through a table.
Mm-hmm. A strong finish.
With a whole bunch of airbags. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong finish. So, you know, it is what it is. It was a lot of airbags.
It's literally a thing where, as I like casually took notes, I'm like, I'm just going to ignore the fact that it's a spear off the stage. That is devastating, Mari. Let's ignore the airbags that were there on the other end. Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, let's pretend we didn't
suspend disbelief.
But the funny thing is, but again, like, I don't mind. I'm not about to heckle somebody for taking a safe bump. You go back to that Jericho.
No, that'd be horrible.
Bump off the cage. So it's fine. It's fine. You know. So
yeah, and you know what's also fine? Bill Goldberg, because he does not look that much older than he did 20 years ago. So I mean, okay. Yeah, 25 years. Look, his look. Maybe it's something about being like a bald, muscular man. But he doesn't look that much more beat down. Like, to me, he kind of has always looked ageless. And now he has that angry dad strength, which I think
The good thing is, hopefully we won't be seeing him too much more. But we'll see. He wasn't drafted, I don't believe.
Yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah. He always does this. He shows up for the Saudi pay-per-views because they give him like $5 million or whatever. Okay. I'm not, allegedly. I'm not a news source, but he gets paid a lot to show up.
Yeah.
To
he does Saudi get paid ones. A lot from so, what we know, right? So,
yeah. That's why he appears only at the Saudi ones. Like,
like around them. But you know what? Yeah. That's kind of like to me, you know, you always say this, Mari, not everything is for everyone in wrestling. Yep. And it's a variety show for that reason. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, the match happened and we move on, you know, and I think Bobby Lashley will be fine. I don't worry about his future.
Yep. Yeah. Wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everyone.
Deep.
All right.
Quarter on that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Okay, so I think that's it. I think we can go into our plugs, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm. We can go into our plugs. So, you know, just to kind of like start us out, just to let everyone know, you could get in touch with us. We want you to email us, connect with us on social media. Email us at wrestling@robpizzlewebsite.com. Mari and I, we're looking out for your emails literally right now. We are just sitting, staring at our phones, looking for a notification of you emailing us at wrestling@robpizzlewebsite.com. So send us an email, hit us up. We want to hear from you with questions, reactions, thoughts. Let us know how you felt about Crown Jewel. Let us know how you felt about what we're about to talk about. Again, wrestling@robpizzlewebsite.com. And you could use #WrestlingRehapUp on social media to join the conversation at WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. And Mari, where else can the people find us?
They can also find us at Jab Has a Squadcast in the Facebook group. Let us know if you want to get in there. That's where the RHAP patrons or, you know, community that love wrestling, that's where we go to chat. Also, I definitely want to shout out Force of Will for keeping the #WrestlingRehapUp hashtag alive. I love all your takes, Will. Keep them coming. You can also, we have our own podcast feed. Look up Wrestling RehapUp wherever you get your podcasts. We will have a link. You'll find the link to all of the podcast feeds.
We'll look for it.
Set that up for us.
We have to find it. We'll find it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where it is, but we'll find it and we'll give it to you.
And then hopefully you're looking at our lovely faces here on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast. Go to Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube, then search Wrestling RehapUp and you'll see our video podcast, which is very useful. And then finally, you want to join the Patreon. You want to join the RHAP Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/RHAP to join the exclusive RHAP community where you can get early access to an exclusive access to podcasts, to patron 5 for 5s or patron feedback shows. So it's a great community. You get access to a lot of podcasters like myself and Matt. We've been on the patron shows. So definitely go check us out and sign up for RHAP Patreon. All right. That's it. Let's get these guests on here, man. Yeah.
Are you ready?
That's it.
Wow. Okay. We're coming in hot. I don't know if I'm ready for this. We have two guests.
Yes, we do.
This is a lot. But first out, a return guest making her way to the podcast. Please welcome, hailing from Houston, Texas, the Houston Rocket, the Supermom, the Millennial Mom. Her appendix is still intact, and she's coming at you. We're about to get real with the one, the only, Kelsey Rose Mundy. Woo, Kelsey.
I was not expecting that. That was amazing.
Look, you're amazing. And you're back. Matters. I don't know what you did with your tag team partner, Jason Reed. We'll have to get an update on that as we go along. But first, I want to introduce your new tag team partner. Please welcome the one, the only. She is someone who is so multi-talented that I could go through her entire resume and it would be overwhelming for me to do that. I could talk about her being let's just call her a lawyer, being a master's person, being someone who's Afro-Latina and has a great podcast that's out on RHAP on Hispanic and Latinx representation with Felipe and Humberto. We could talk about her coming from two podcasts, not just RHAP, but the Silent Podcast. That's right. This guest has two jobs. Please welcome performing artist, multi-talented podcaster, peace, love, Geneva, welcome to the Wrestling RehapUp.
Yeah, Geneva. What a wonderful introduction, Matt. Thank you so much. And also, I'm not a licensed attorney. I'm a 2L in law school. So let's close just enough. Say I cannot give legal advice. But otherwise.
Yeah. We love otherwise. That you put in that legal disclaimer.
Such a lawyer.
Very on brand.
But you know what? In another, 3.5 semesters or so. Jeez. You know, I'll be through it. I'll be
less
done.
Than more power any to you. Of us have to mm-hmm. become lawyers. So
yeah.
we do. There's a lot of legal stuff that happens, and or illegal stuff, depending on how you look at it, that happens in wrestling. So maybe we'll get into it. And you
missed
can
all the contract signings.
You're almost all your opinion.
I just love how the intro is, Geneva is a lawyer and Kelsey still has her appendix.
Well, that's his fault. And kids, too. It's like that was it.
I mean, I still have my appendix, favorite. Too, I guess. At least I think so. I don't think I ever lost it. To my knowledge,
I have it, too. Mari, how's your appendix doing?
I think it's fine. No bursting over here. So we're good.
That's good.
We're good. A full house of appendixes.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. Yes, please knock on some wood. Oh, my, what a steak. We're so happy to have you here, ladies. We've had a pretty good run. We've invited a lot of women guests lately. We've been switching it up, making sure we're getting some different perspectives
ladies,
on the show.
Is it ladies season, ladies year,
ladies even, night?
What
season.
Night, week, year?
Yep,
it's a thing. It's a vibe.
Yeah,
it's a theme. That's what we're doing. So, So Kelsey, we talked to you a few months ago. It feels like a lifetime ago. What are your thoughts coming back, stepping back into the wrestling ring?
I love it. It's been fun to catch up with the characters. A lot of the same ones from last time. I'm missing some faces of some people that were involved in the last podcast, but there's some reoccurring. So it's fun to see what everybody's up to. And then some new faces this time that weren't a part of the last one. So I feel like wrestling is the gift that keeps on giving. There's always something new. I like the stories. I'm excited to get into it.
And we didn't pay you to say that at all.
Not at all. Exactly.
No. So, sorry.
Real quick to put you on the spot. What was at least one new face that you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, the first story we're getting into wasn't there last time. The family where they adopted an adult human and then dealing with the suitor, not into it. They're all the same age. Mm. Like it's really interesting. The dad daughter dynamic where I was very interested with that whole storyline. So that was not there last time.
Kelsey, I know a couple months ago now, you were talking about Nanny 911 with Rob Sestrino, with Chappelle over on the RHP Rewind. You just we all know families come in all shapes and sizes. So you can't
absolutely
judge. You can't judge. I mean,
no, but it does seem like there is some work in that family that Nanny 911 could address. Like she could probably have some work to do there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
No one's above help.
One of the nannies. I know. I always forget that Nanny 911 is like five different nannies to choose from. Maybe all five of them could be called in here to really sort through the mess.
They could get in the ring. That's a whole other angle we could do.
Vince McMahon, head of WWE, if you are listening, that is your million-dollar idea.
Yeah. You couldn't not watch that.
You couldn't.
No.
Nannies.
Man.
Anything else about nannies?
I mean, how much more about nannies do we need to talk about? I mean, we could go on and on.
No more about nannies, but I'm looking back at what when Kelsey was last here, and it's major changes from what happened last time. But we have some mainstays like Drew, Charlotte, and Roman. So it'll be great to hear your thoughts on some of the people you've seen before. And so now Geneva, newcomer. What's going on? What did you think when you saw these clips?
Yeah, so I am a brand newcomer to wrestling, but I was very, very entertained. There was so many different elements I wasn't really expecting to see. I didn't realize how theatrical, wrestling was. I didn't realize, how much engagement there is in interaction, not only with the audience, but, sometimes see some wrestlers, go outside the box, outside the realm of what is going on in a match, and they'll just randomly come out and just start fighting, other people, and, want to assert their dominance and their superiority over everybody else. So that is quite crazy to see, and seeing a lot of these dynamics, like what we're about to talk about next with that whole, I was Googling ages and I was like, there's no way. I was like, brother, father, what? I was, before I had context, I was like, I'm so confused. How is this I don't understand how this is happening. But, you know, I feel like it's kind of like those, you know, things sometimes when you have those friend groups, sometimes like someone's the mom, someone's the dad, someone's the sister, brother, that sort of thing.
You assume a role.
You assume a role. Yes. So, you know, we're seeing that role in the wrestling community. We're seeing those close relationships, those, you know, basically those people who are at odds, those, you know, a lot of the fighting, a lot of the tension. So it's been quite enjoyable to watch. And of course, I think when we get later, that's the stuff that was super, super crazy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about wrestling. But, you know, I really did enjoy the clips that I did see.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, WWE, if you're like a hardcore fan, some of the hardcore fans consider WWE to be, they even call themselves sports entertainment. So WWE and NXT in general, the first batch of clips that we're going to talk about, they lean way heavier on story. That being said, there is some wrestling. The thing is, you know, we don't send we can't send the whole matches. We send what WWE clips down. And for newbies, you don't need to see the whole matches because not like you're going to know what a running armbar is or anything like that. So, I mean,
from like real life, you know, but that will take us in a different direction.
Exactly. So that's why we just, you know, we keep it cute. We keep it light. We give you what we feel like you need to know to get the gist of the storyline. Tackle everything storyline by storyline. And we're just grateful to be here to hear what you guys think. Matt, anything before we go into the highlights of the week?
No, just love what you said, Mari. We appreciate, similar to Sarah Carradine, who was on just a few weeks back, we appreciate the theater and the art of wrestling. And that's what this is all about. That was not a Sarah accent. That was just my sophisticated accent.
Yep.
Very sophisticated.
Thank you.
I love it.
Self-proclaimed sophisticated, but thank you, Kelsey.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into the highlights of the week. So each week we go over the different highlights from the wrestling week at large. This week we will just be tackling NXT and SmackDown. Like we said, the wrestling week was really nuts. AEW is still, Dynamite is still premiering on Saturdays, and then Rampage is Friday nights. But again, it's really hard to talk about AEW when we have newbies and they don't put up clips. And again, they are recording, they're showing Dynamite the day we record. So until AEW gets back onto its regular scheduling program, we will more than likely not talk about them. So just a heads up for programming in the future. But also, we didn't talk about Raw because we also did a really, really good in-depth Crown Jewel preview last week. And basically nothing on Raw matters. So I already said that, but just letting you guys get a heads up. So we're going to start with NXT 2.0. And like both Kelsey and Geneva alluded to, we have to start with Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo won the North American Championship last week. So him and Trick Williams came out to the ring to celebrate. Carmelo talks about how he is going to be the A champion on the brand. And I keep forgetting that his character is supposed to be a heel. Because the crowd loves him. You know what I'm saying? The crowd like legit loves him, but character wise, he's supposed to be a bad guy. But I don't like it. I want him to, I like his crowd reactions. I want him to go babyface, but it makes sense why he's in a heel persona. And while he's talking about, you know, putting the North American Championship on the map, we get Johnny Gargano comes out, which confirmed Carmelo is a heel here, because Johnny Gargano, also known as Johnny Wrestling, is one of the most over wrestlers, especially when it comes to NXT. Mm-hmm. And so he came out, did a fire promo, because Johnny is always going to do a fire promo. And Carmelo and Trick then start to make reference to Johnny Gargano's daughter, aka Indy Hartwell, saying that she was shooting her shots in Carmelo's DMs, which is just like, why are you lying on this lady? And then we get Dexter pop up and they both clear the ring. So hopefully we get Johnny and Dexter versus Carmelo and Trick at some point, because we didn't get it last night. I don't think they announced it for Halloween Havoc. Did they, Matt? I don't think they announced it for Halloween Havoc.
No. They didn't.
So maybe just the start of a program between Johnny and Carmelo. So I said all that to say, well, review the highlights. Yeah. I got to get the reactions. Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll even add what number one. It is, I did appreciate with this segment, going back to Carmelo Hayes specifically, that he was talking about debuting only 4.5 months ago, winning the NXT That's breakout true. Tournament, mm-hmm. which is interesting because there was another NXT breakout tournament in 2019. And the winner of that was Jordan Miles, who shortly after left the company. That could be its own podcast. But, who's now working as ACH on the Indies. And because he was gone so quickly, we didn't really get to see where WWE or where NXT envisioned taking the breakout tournament in some of these characters. So it was really nice to see him go from being this breakout tournament winner to actually being consequential and in there with different competitors. I loved seeing Melo in the Chocolate Factory get to work, and love that he pulled the swerve on Swerve and all of those fun, corny lines that he just decided to drop on us. So that's where I come from with this one. But I also just want to add, to me, I guess what I'm hoping for is that we're kind of get a lot of like this tag team action, not only, of course, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, but Dexter and Johnny Gargano, yes. who I didn't even fully realize were friends.
No, they're friends now. After the marriage, the honeymoon, they are now friends. Give them the big thumbs up. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
So I love this dynamic here. God, it's so awesome. The storyline is awesome. Sorry, keep going. Kelsey, what did you think about this?
Okay, so I was fascinated by the storyline. Mm-hmm. Before I watched the video for context, but for the backstory, I had written down in my notes that the wife was in Carmelo's DMs, because that's what made more sense to me, because surely this person who's not in their 30s or 40s, like, doesn't have a daughter who's appropriately aged to be in a DM. But to find out that it was like an adoption situation the whole story was very interesting to me. And so I'm curious, Geneva, you mentioned that you looked into ages. What did you find out? Are they all the same age, or like,
they're like around like I think what's his name? I think Johnny's like in his 30s or something. Mm-hmm. So okay. I was like daughter Dia. I was confused. Like, yes. I actually watched the second clip, the love story first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I was like, okay, let me get context. But then mm-hmm. that's when I got confused when I watched this clip, because I was like, but how are, because at first to me, it looked like maybe they were siblings when I first watched it. Yeah. Like, maybe it was like a sibling family type relationship. Oh. Mm-hmm. So then when I saw this clip, I'm like, okay, I'm just confused. There's no way, like, that's his daughter. So I was just like, I don't understand. So I was just
freaky. I love that she proposed.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yes.
Yes. So Indy Hartwell is 25. Candace LeRae, who is Johnny's wife, is 36. Dexter Lumis is 37. I didn't even know that. I didn't know Indy was that young, to be quite honest.
And they're married in real life, right?
She's 25, yeah.
Wait.
Johnny and Candace.
Yeah.
Okay. But Indy and Dexter are not married in real life.
Right.
Okay. Do they have any former relationship?
I don't
they don't. I don't. Indy keeps it very kayfabe on Twitter. Like, she changed her name to Mrs. Loomis and everything. So it, like, everything looks legit, but there hasn't been any, or at least I don't look at backstage stuff too much anyways, because I don't really care. But I mean, I want there to be, damn it. I really do. So the nucleus is, this is the longest running storyline that NXT has. So I'm not surprised that we're like constantly kind of like updating it every week, just because like when Johnny brings up the whole like adoption and it's his daughter, that goes back even further than the wedding stuff, because Johnny and Candace are real. Like, Candace was the one who had the purple hair in the clip, the package. They're like really husband and wife. She is really pregnant right now. She's like pregnant with their first child. So she's kind of at home, And the how Indy was introduced to NXT proper, like over a year ago, I want to say it was she was well known on the indie scene, the independent wrestling scene. And she was introduced through to NXT by wanting to, basically wanting to join Johnny and Candace. Like she kept like interfering in their matches to help them. And she wanted to prove to them, like she wanted to be a part of their family. And she just kept saying she wanted to be a part of their family. And then she was finally a part of their family. They call themselves The Way. Like it's like a little, it was a like family unit, weird cult. It was funny. It was such a funny story. And then as they were like a family, Johnny was actually feuding with Dexter Lumis. But of course, as he was feuding with Dexter Lumis, Indy was like, oh, he's kind of hot. And so gotcha. Then we got that's where you saw with the love story with the, you know, there you go. Yeah, that's a picture of The Way. That was them. Was that earlier this year?
That's probably like 5 months ago, but time
in a prison though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was a lot of, that's why we send you the love story. That's where we pick up with the love story between Indy and Dexter, because they had to fight through all that adversity. And then they finally, she proposed to him. They got married. Johnny and Candace are now trying to accept it. More Johnny, because Johnny is doing the overprotective father role. So that's why it got brought into this with Carmelo and Trick. So
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, I said all that to say, it's basically cheap heat. It's a way for people to get mad at Carmelo and Trick by talking about somebody's daughter. You know, it's social media 101, like, oh, but your daughter was in my DMs, you know? So
right. You don't bring up someone's child. That's like the first thing you see in reality TV. That's too far. So I was like, whoa, whoa. Even though I was like, okay, there's no actual child.
Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah. No, we don't want child endangerment in pro wrestling at all. And to clarify, we have seen that very recently, including Phil Goldberg, who we were talking about. So they like to go back to that well a lot. But in any event, I mean, as like, you know, look, don't talk about people's kids. Don't talk about their nieces and nephews. Don't talk about anything like that. Leave the youths out of it. I don't know, unless they get in the ring, then we could bring them into it. But yeah, right. This is all weird. I love this storyline, by the way. And I like, again, that we're getting more of the tag team between Dexter and Johnny, just because I, for whatever reason, wasn't expecting that. I don't know where I thought that the whole thing was going, but.
Right. The way, for such a limited character, like I really thought I was like, man, when he first debuted his character, I'm like, this is either gonna sink or swim, because basically he's just very menacing. He looks very menacing. When he first debuted kind of alongside a Velveteen Dream, which right. So
We don't talk about him. No. Moving on.
It was kind of like he's always had just that mysterious air. He doesn't talk. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but he doesn't talk at all.
Nope. He ever. Like drew pictures, right?
Yes. Yeah. He draws. Mm-hmm. That's him actually drawing too. That's his actual talent at drawing.
Wow. Talented.
He expresses feelings. He draws. Yes, aww. Exactly.
So this is where I want to know, like, is this just like him? Is this how he is? Just like, is this his persona within wrestling, or is he also like this in real life? Because that's, I think, what I was just like, he's just very intense. He's not saying really anything. I don't know how to interpret this. Of course, people I think are intimidated by him, but I'm just like, do I take him seriously? Do I not take him seriously? How should I interpret his actions?
That's a deep question.
It is. And I mean, I don't know. From what I understand from his social media, he doesn't participate a lot. And so I didn't know if he was an independent wrestler or anything. So it's kind of funny that NXT seems to try to be keeping kayfabe in a sense, like they're trying to make their work their storylines, because this is the era of wrestling where we normally know everything everybody's doing in the backstage. We will definitely have a talk about that later. So it's very interesting to find characters like Indy and Dexter where you're kind of still in that gray area of like, I really don't know, because as far as I know, I don't think any of them have spouses, at least from my personal knowledge. So it really does help further the actual storyline along. And they've tried doing this in this era, and it just doesn't work if everybody's not playing along. And it seems like everybody is playing along. And when Dexter first introduced, like I said, he was just menacing, like not talking and menacing. It's like very Michael Myers when he first debuted. Yeah. So now to see the progression, that it's still the same character, but it's kind of like a soft monster. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you could feel that. Yeah. It's so good that he is doing so much with a character that you would think would need so little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that the other thing I would just mention with him is, I didn't even like fully, I don't think I've really connected the dots, but brace yourselves if you're on watching the YouTube version for this picture. And if you're not watching, you got to tune in because, you know, something that's really amazing. So Dexter Loomis, who you see here in this picture in a, I don't know if you'd call it like a butcher type of,
yes, like a very serial killer apron, no shirt under,
lots of tattoos, lots of muscles. On the left side, though, is a picture of him from TNA Wrestling, another wrestling company.
He was in TNA?
Where he was Sam Shaw, who I think won like a, either the TNA Gut Check or something like that. That was about 10 years ago. So I think, I don't think he's actually a serial killer type. I think he knows how to talk. But yeah, it is interesting to see like the evolution that different characters have. And I think this image represents it well, because he kind of is, you know, before picture as Sam Shaw, still the tattoos, but kind of wearing like board shorts, white board shorts. And now just jacked and menacing.
I'm like a really different person.
I know. I'm hovering on the Google key. I'm like, do I really want to know? Like I want to break the illusion.
Uh-oh. Is he breaking the internet right now?
But the funny thing is, nope, on Wikipedia, listed as spouses is Indy Hartwell. So
I mean, it's real to me.
It's real to me, damn it.
So then I guess it's real. But that's, I don't know. Like, I guess even if it's real or not real, I think it seems like one thing, like we've kind of been talking about, is like, I think storytelling is key. And I think people tend to be really engaged when it comes to relationships or dynamics, especially on social media. And when you watch things that are like, you know, I guess in reality. So people like to kind of follow up with these things. So I don't know if like this has affected any of their like following or like people who engage with actually these specific wrestlers. But I would feel like that might feel like that would probably impact that, because, you know, I think when it comes to certain things, like I would be curious, like, oh, like what is going on between Indy and Dexter? Like, I don't understand this relationship, but I'd like to know more. So people might follow them or watch their matches more or be more engaged with them. And then seeing, you know, their connection to like Johnny and that sort of thing, watching that dynamic. And I think, you know, it works for them because not only is it this fictional thing, but it's this thing that I think people will want to know, like, oh, what's going on with their relationship, whether it's fake, real. And I guess, you know, that's another added layer beyond the general wrestling.
Yeah,
exactly. And
the thing I would even like add to that that's interesting is that, like, you could have, when matches happen, if you just have someone who's featured in a match, like if you're watching the show, you see that match, but you're not necessarily going to go to social media to follow them, because you just need to turn to the show to see the match. With this, not only is it a storyline, which just makes the two wrestlers more interesting, it's also a storyline that involved a honeymoon that was shown in clips. And, you know, you want to see. You're like, where is this going? What's going to happen beyond off screen? Who knows what they're going to post? So I think that their following's definitely grew, but I think part of it is just like the storyline and type of storyline. And they were able to show so much personality. Well, I don't know if that's like the right way to phrase it, but they were able to show a lot of character development, which goes a long way to people actually caring. And it's cool to see them getting that support from fans.
Exactly. Kelsey, any final thoughts before we move on?
No, I'm just excited to keep hearing more about that whole dynamic. It's really interesting to me. So I really like that they bring it about like family and all of that. So I'll be curious to see where that goes. And I'm curious to see if she was actually in Carmelo's DMs. What if she was?
Stop it. I hope not. Scandal. I know that would be so, it would go so much against her character, since we'll see now, and we'll pivot to the women's triple threat. Like, literally her whole character is being named Mrs. Loomis. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of, we talked about it a little
most likely not
last week. Yeah. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's so funny because, like, as a married person, it's like, to me, I'm not, it's just borderline kind of like, is this too much? And then it's like, no, it seems like very young love, because like
the newlywed phase.
Yes, exactly.
She comes out,
she's pointing to her ring. She has to specifically take it off before she wrestles and hand it to her tag team partner. She's constantly just talking about, yeah, whatever, I need to get back home to Sexy Dexy. Like, it is.
Yes, so I have hilarious. That in, sexy, written down yeah. for the sexy. Next clip. Yeah. It's so, a lot of newlywed energy that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially young newlywed. Like, yes. Holler at me in a few years when you lose your ring and you feel guilty about
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves, because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So there's a women's triple threat match. I know there's a lot of so's there, but there's going to be a women's triple threat match for the tag team championship, women's tag team championship at Halloween Havoc. And this match, right? For this match, one person from each team got into a triple threat match for the right to spin the wheel to determine the stipulation.
That's right.
Keep up with me here.
We're with you.
So we had Io Shirai, JC Jane, and Persia Parada, who is Indy's. That's Indy's partner.
Her bestie.
They're all in. Yeah, they're real all in bestie. A triple threat match. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, they are.
Well, I don't know if they're real, but I mean,
I don't know. That's what they keep saying.
Well, no, I said real bestie because, like, side note, like the kids these days, they say bestie and me as like an insult. Yeah. It's weird. I don't understand.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm too old for this.
Okay,
it's an insult.
I didn't even realize it was an insult, but I feel like people loosely use the term bestie, like with loosely, someone, and they like barely know them. So I think that's quite common, but I didn't.
Now I'm wondering if any youths have called me bestie in like a derogatory way.
Okay, bestie.
And it's just like bestie. Over my head. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we are really good friends. I have no idea.
I'm derailing this podcast. I need to go.
No,
this is
it is okay. It is fine. So they have a triple threat. And even on commentary, they're like, okay, so what's the point of winning this triple threat if you're just spinning a wheel? There's this wheel for Halloween Havoc where there's different stipulations on the wheel, and then you spin it, and whatever it lands on, that's what the stipulation for the match is. Even the commentary was like, "Well, there's no real, there's no real actual good thing to come from winning. It's just kind of like, oh, it's a momentum thing. It's a mental win." And I'm like, then why are we even doing this match? And yeah, Matt, can you bring up that picture one more time? Matt brought up a picture of the wheel. The wheel has all of these very weird Halloween themed stipulations. So we have a trick or treat street fight.
Scareway to hell ladder match.
Yeah, the scareway to hell. We got the casket match. I think
coal miner's
said,
glove on a coal miner's glove on a pole.
There's a Chucky's Choice match, which come on, I hate it here.
Casket match, buried alive match, boiler room brawl.
Boiler room brawl.
Asylum match. Ooh, there's like a straitjacket on there.
Yeah. So so basically, whoever wins spins the wheel. It's still all random, so it doesn't even matter who spins the wheel. It's not like they get to pick.
So they just want the drama. They want the drama of who spins the wheel. They want this is all for the audience to see this matchup. This is all for the competitors to show who's superior and then who's superior enough to spin the wheel, which sounds kind of weird, but
yeah, it does. Like,
do you have it in you to spin the wheel? Let us know. I don't know what it accomplishes. Also, the wheel spins make me very nervous because I don't understand how they work.
They work by riggery. They're rigged.
Is someone standing behind it like, okay, just let me know when to stop. And then they stop it.
It's just amazing to me that wrestling has so many elements. Like, we've got Bachelor, we've got Bad Girls Club, we've got Wheel of Fortune. All the shows that you like to watch are mashed up together in this one show. Love it has it. Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And no, it felt like I was watching reality TV. Like, no joke. So I agree, Kelsey.
And
what more could you
want? The wheel was spinning. The wheel was spinning, right, y'all? The wheel was spinning. And then right before it stopped, there's like a cutaway. It's like a cutaway. And it comes back. And like, oh, it stopped here. It's like, did it.
I mean, but like, if you're watching Wheel of Fortune, like, you don't know. They cut away all the time.
That's so true. And who's standing behind this giant wheel stopping it manually, you know?
Probably,
I wouldn't put it past. I wouldn't put it past.
Yeah. I don't know. But so, Indy and Persia not look thrilled.
They did not. They didn't.
Their faces. I was like, uh-oh, looks like they saw a ghost.
Yeah, because EO won
yes.
the match. And
to spin the wheel.
And they got Scareway to Hell, which is just a triple threat ladder match, which is a good. I think I was just saying the other week, like, I love a good tag team ladder match. Like, this is some of the triple threat tag team ladder matches are some of the best matches you will get in a WWE. So I'm glad that they stopped it at Scareway to Hell.
But do they? Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Keep going.
Do they fight while climbing ladders, or do they fight with hitting each other with ladders? Like, where does the ladder go?
See all of the above.
Oh my gosh.
Both of the above. Yes.
Anything you could ask for.
Exactly. They jump off of ladders onto each other as well. Like,
this just sounds like serious injuries.
Ladder matches are amazing.
They jump off of ladders onto each other. Let's like, okay,
just a lawyer
off of ladders.
I just feel like these people, it's just like they're signing themselves to like die or something.
Are you by any chance aiming to be a personal injury lawyer?
I mean, I wasn't, but maybe I should go into personal injury tort. You know, there's a lot of battery. There's a lot of assault that we've seen.
Yeah.
And opportunity for you here in the wrestling world.
Yes. I could picture you just sitting front row with like maybe a clipboard and just some documents. Glasses too. Just
the Rehapsa sure segment really is not it here. This is not here right now. Stop it. I see what you're doing.
No. I wasn't.
So I just, before we quickly move on, we do have to talk about in that match, JC Jane took a really, really bad fall. She was doing a inappropriately titled suicide dive.
Yep.
And
I know they need to really rename that and just call it a dive. Yeah. First of all,
I like, you know, Tope Suicida, Suicida is what Mauro used to call it.
Yeah.
So which is basically when you dive through the ropes to the outside to your opponent and you're supposed to land, your opponents are supposed to help you. But what happened was JC got caught in the, she got caught in the ropes. Her feet got tangled in the ropes. So she got pulled up short and then she fell like straight down. Persia really tried to help her there. And, you could tell they were concerned. JC was able to do enough to help EO's moonsault. And then after that, she was, they kept her out of the match. It became like a two person, it was no longer a triple threat.
Yeah.
And
like if you watch the clip on YouTube, the official clip on YouTube, you won't even see JC Jane in the match.
You wouldn't even know.
They cut that part out.
Yeah. Cause when I first saw it and you, like, I saw the clip and I was like, okay, I'm not, where's JC Jane? I don't.
Yeah, where's the triple?
I was like, I thought it was three people. I'm so confused. So then, like, you know, I was just like, wait, is Zoe? I was JC. Like, I was like confused, like in that moment. So then when I mm-hmm. went to go back and see the other clip, and I'm like, it's always good to have context because mm-hmm. yikes.
Yeah.
But EO, iconic.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can
yeah.
tell she's so experienced and so skilled at what she does.
And I think the other thing is that even in character, the thing that I appreciated, because I really kind of, for whatever reason, found myself watching this match, like, trying to get outside of my head as a wrestling fan. And first of all, like, the size difference is so notable. So EO is only 5'1.5", specifically, according to Wikipedia, and Persia is 5'11", and you could notice the difference, but I didn't even truly before this week, like, realize that Persia was a powerhouse competitor,
so powerful,
so large, so strong, like, she hit the big power bomb on EO at one point, but then the thing that was cool is that you're able to see, like, EO working her way back into the match through the skill, through her agility, and you know, it helps you appreciate, like, wrestling's not all about who's the bigger person, which is
yeah. fun. And the powerbomb was so powerful that, like, even, like, you know, even Persia was affected by her own powerbomb. So like, it was kind of
rattled her a little
bit. It was just funny to see them both, like, you know, like, they were both on the ground, like, in serious pain. And I'm like, well, I guess that's what happens when you do a move that's not necessarily going to, you know, just benefit you. It's going to end up hurting you yourself. So
mm-hmm. exactly. And I thought it was funny that Matt points out that, like, we didn't know how tall Persia was because we've only seen her standing next to Indy, and Indy's 5'10". Yeah. So Indy's 5'10", Persia's 5'11". I had the same thought when she stepped into the ring with JC and EO. I was like, geez, I didn't realize, like, she was legit going to be the powerhouse. So it's mm-hmm. so cool to see that. I will definitely be rooting for Indy and Persia because I definitely think the belts need to be taken off of EO and Zoe. Ooh. But I do not want it to go to Toxic Attraction with JC and Gigi.
I don't, you know what? So I'm really excited for this Stairway to Hell ladder match at Halloween Havoc because yeah. I am, the thing that's fun about this match that's coming up is that, so it's just so many people who are new at ladder matches, and they talked about that in the post-match promos, the digital mm-hmm. exclusives for NXT, where I think the only one who's been in a ladder match has been Io Shirai, but other than that, the others, like Zoe Stark and Toxic Attraction. Mm-hmm. Like the others have not been in ladder matches. So that's interesting to see because you're like, well, are they going to jump through the ladders? Are they going to, who's going to get hit with the ladder the most is my question.
Well, that's what Indy said in her interview, that she has never done a ladder match, but that Candace could help her. But then she was like, but, you know, Candace did lose, but, like, I'm fine. It'll be fine. I'm going to go to Sexy Dexy now.
Yeah.
Candace, I'm not worried about it.
Also, is Candace still pregnant?
Did she have the kid? I think she did. Yeah, we talked about it on here.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. We congratulated them so much.
We did. Yeah.
Look at that.
I think the reason why it's confusing is because the last time she was on NXT TV, she was still pregnant, but I'm pretty sure it was after. Wow. Because, you know, they it was taped. It was taped. So she.
Wow. Mari, look at what did I do without you? What do I know about pregnancy other than nothing? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we could talk about that, like, if you want to.
Oh, don't get us started on pregnancy. Yeah. We'll be here all day.
let's break it down.
But yeah, so I'm so excited for this match. Again, a ladder match. You do, even though half of them haven't been in a ladder match, EO and Zoe are, EO's like, again, one of the greatest women wrestlers in the world. Full stop. And then Zoe is very experienced indie wrestler. Gigi Dolin, who I don't even know if she was in any of the clips we sent because of what happened with JC. She is an independent wrestler as well who used to do very extreme matches. I have no idea what JC Jane's background is. I'm not even going to presume, but both
as a wrestler.
Yeah. And Persia are experienced enough that yes. I think that this will be a good match. And I love, this is what NXT 2.0 is about. And I meant to mention this with Johnny and Carmelo. It's about pushing the new stars by using experienced stars to make them look good. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm really excited to see Johnny and Carmelo go. And then this match is going to be great. And then also our next highlight is, Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker. They teamed up this week, but next week they will be in a NXT championship match at Halloween Havoc. So they teamed up to go up against the Grizzled Young Veterans. It's a nothing burger of a match. They always do this whenever you're trying to keep two people away from hitting each other. You put them on a team so you can waste time, especially if they're kind of both faces, which both of them technically are. They're both seem to be like fan favorites. Bron Breakker is new to the biz. We're being told like he just started in February, but he is the son of a very famous wrestler. He's in a wrestling family dynasty, basically. And he's grown so much since his debut just like a few weeks ago. So I'm excited for this match. Geneva, what did you think of the promo? We don't got to talk about the match between them and Grizzly Young Veterans. Bron Breakker got the win. Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say that was insane. That was insane.
If you have something.
Well, I don't know. I was just going to say I was a little thrown off when, you know, like Ciampa and like Breakker had the tag, but then I think it was kind of like a fake out, you know, so that was quite iconic. That match was quite great. But you were wondering kind of about like the digital exclusive right after
The promo.
So like Samantha was asking about Halloween Havoc, and then so like he was saying like, I'm thankful to be in this position. What an opportunity for me to go into Halloween Havoc and have a main event. I respect, you know, Ciampa, but listen, we're done with the coexisting stuff. Yeah, the whole drama.
Very intense.
So it's just kind of funny to see. It's like, okay, we're on a team, but not on a team anymore. Like, you know, we're kind of at this point where it's like, yeah, I'm going to beat you. Like, and I mean, seeing kind of just even what happened, even though they were on the same team in the match, I was kind of like, I feel like Ciampa might have to watch out for Bron, because like clearly he showed what a competitor he was in that match. Like it was pretty insane. Also, it was just very interesting to see like the ending scene when they won and you know, Ciampa got the belt. He was just kind of like
clutching it,
holding it like close, you know, or whatever. And then I was like, why is he holding on to that belt like that? And then he's
that's
like
Ciampa's
come on.
Signature.
It was quite funny, but I thought it was pretty intense. I think it's always interesting to see kind of the interviews. I mean, obviously I feel like a lot of the time it seems like it's kind of a way for people to say like, yeah, I'm the greatest, like this is my way to kind of be like, oh, I'm better than this person I'm about to compete against, they better watch out, you know. So that's kind of like feeding into the dramatics and, you know, like a lot of the story that goes along with the wrestling. So it's always interesting to see how people, you know, kind of respond in that way. But I also am like, well, you better be able to back it up, you know, you better be able to back up that talk. So, but I think he probably will be able to. So maybe, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Anything can happen. I mean, considering what we saw, you know, later on with, you know, SmackDown.
Anything can happen. What did you think of Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa? I mean, maybe I should have yada-yadded over the match, but it's just for us, like, it's very annoying because they do this all the time. Like, Ciampa and Bron Breakker are having a program together. They are adversaries. They've never been friends. They've never been tag team partners.
Yeah.
But in order to prolong it, they put them together to face an actual tag team in the Creed Brothers, which are in Diamond Mine that I think could really do good things, but they they didn't squash them, but they beat them. So it's kind of annoying. We've seen it.
Grizzled Young Veterans.
Oh, this is Grizzled Young Veterans. Sorry. That's
an easy. I mean,
Grizzle Young Veterans, they can beat them. I don't care about Grizzle Young Veterans. This is true. They're not up and coming. Grizzle Young Veterans aren't up and coming. So you're right. No. I was thinking about a different clip.
They're barely even coming. Like, they're just there. They're there. They're good wrestlers. They're
yes. Sorry, that was my bad. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't care for it. Yes, Kelsey, sorry.
I will say, though, as someone who does not know the context that these two guys were about, like, the plan was for them to be against each other. I just thought they were a tag team duo. And so as I'm watching them and as I'm seeing that they are not really on the same page, I kept being like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, I could feel the tension with the two of them. And I'm like, y'all are on the same time or on the same side. And so whenever Ciampa went and like slapped him to tag him in, I was like, okay. But it's like it was like a dad correcting his son for getting out of line because he was fighting on the side instead of in the ring or whatever. And it seems like he was just like frustrated with him. I did not realize that they were rivals. And so watching that, I was like, these guys are on the same side. What's going on? And so for an outsider looking in, it was a lot of like, I thought it was pretty dramatic in the moment. I thought they became rivals during that match. I didn't realize they were already rivals.
Yeah.
You know what, though? The only hint maybe in my mind that they're not on the same page is like something that we haven't really talked about yet. But, you know, the visual here, Bron Breakker's singlet is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Yeah. I love it. I would, if I were a wrestler, that would be what I would wear. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I don't know if this is like Saved by the Bell, but that looks like some like wallpaper out of that, like out of
That was AC Slater's wrestling outfit.
He wore by the Bell. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Or like his dance outfit. He had like a nice little.
They seemed kind of a mismatched pair. And I was actually like quite confused by it. But I was like, okay, maybe this is just like some sort of matchup where they got paired together. And I think like it was even funny when the commentators were like, yeah, that whole slap, the weird tag team situation was unconventional. Because I was shocked that he literally like hit him. I'm like, I don't know if that's really the best method to use, like switch out, but
right. Okay.
you don't choose violence, Geneva. Is that right?
I mean, you know,
not with your partner.
It's like, I think he's choosing violence on the wrong person, at least within this context.
Fair enough.
Exactly. So I'm excited. The biggest thing is, again, Bron Breakker, very new to the biz in a sense. And Tommaso Ciampa is a journeyman. He's been in the biz for at least a decade and a half, I want to say, or something like that.
As long as it took that beard to grow.
Exactly. So this is another good pairing. I don't know. I think they probably should pull the trigger on Bron Breakker if they're trying to like legit establish NXT 2.0 as like a new brand. But I don't know. It might be too soon.
You know what? Whoa, Mari, I never even made this connection. Bron Breakker is literally dressed in the colors of the brand.
Why did no one
point that out to me?
They want him to be the face of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
love it.
So they might pull the trigger.
Give him the championship only for that.
I mean, we'll see.
For his commitment to the aesthetic.
At that point, it's sink or swim. You know what I'm saying? It really is. But they could be laying the groundwork of just Tommaso outsmarting him. Just veteran wiles. They do this all the time. The whole wily veteran can get up on the rookie. So they could do that to prolong the feud longer. But I guess we'll see. I think no matter what, it'll be a very entertaining match at Halloween Havoc. I think they also, are they the ones? No, a few of these matches at Halloween Havoc, they're going to spin the wheel at Halloween Havoc to figure out what it is.
Oh, in the moment.
Yeah.
Havoc. Even more Havoc.
So much Havoc.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So I can't remember if they're going to be one of the matches or not, but we'll see.
So like for Christmas, are they going to like pull them out of a stocking? Like, we'll see what this matchup's going to be. Like, do they maximize every holiday
They don't do this that often.
This is the first time. Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. This is actually the first time in a minute that they've done this sort of wheel thing.
They wanted to spice it up.
They wanted to do something different.
Yeah, but we've seen the Great American Bash, which was like 4th of July. That was a big one. They're probably they used to love like the holidays. Like, oh, it's Valentine's Day. Well, we're gonna do Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
There's like New Year's Revolution. Well, we could just go through. St. Patrick's Day hasn't had one yet,
though. No, you haven't said my favorite, Capital Punishment, when they came here to DC for that Capital, one. Pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. The theme is theming for this.
Horrendous. Yeah. I don't know if you've gotten if y'all realize the names are bad sometimes.
Yeah. Not Capital Punishment. No.
Yeah. So next we got the Creed brothers from Diamond Mine versus Imperium.
We did.
This was just like kind of like a hot mess here. The Creed brothers were going up against Imperium. It looked like they were about to beat Imperium. Then Hero and Kushida come out.
Yeah.
Distraction. Imperium gets the win. But then MSK come out to beat up Imperium. MSK are the current tag team champions. And they've been kind of feuding with Imperium for a while. But MSK was getting massively booed. So few things there, and they're good guys. They're faces. So that's not good. So a few things here. One, I don't care about Imperium in this MSK. The feud personally, just because like, I don't know. I guess I'm really sinking into this NXT 2.0 thing. If it's not new people on there, I'm kind of getting kind of like, out of it. Yeah, right? Making me invested into these new characters. So I really wanted to see the Creed brothers, you know, win this. I'm so pro Diamond Mine, even though they're a heel faction, mostly because Malcolm Bivens is hilarious. Mm. So I didn't like that the Creed brothers lost. All this tag team stuff, I don't know where it's leading. I guess they're just trying to figure out who's going to be the next contenders. But I really didn't like that MSK was getting booed. And we'll probably talk about that to end this segment. But Kelsey, were you confused?
A little bit. So in the very beginning, you talked about how some other tag team people came and distracted. In the very beginning, someone grabbed Imperium's leg. Who was that? Who grabbed his leg? Because they didn't say it. I don't
think it said cruiserweight Strong. Champion Roger.
Roger Strong. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He's part of Diamond Mine with the Creed brothers.
Gotcha. There's a lot of interference in this. There was a little bit of just like, okay, who else is going to come out at this point? Like everyone's involved. Of course, there was one that involved even more people later on, but, I got a little nervous. There was one time there was like a weird hold. Like there was like the neck was against the back of someone's arm and then they had the head like this and we were going, I was a little nervous we were going to have an actual injury situation. It's like, surely we can't be doing this too much. But it was really good. I really liked at the end. I liked watching MSK. There was a move that they did that I really liked. One of the guys did a backflip in midair. The other guy pushed him to where he landed on the other guy. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was so well coordinated. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, there was, speaking of partners kind of pushing and throwing each other, like, that's the thing. I don't think I've seen a tag team just like throwing each other around as much as the Creed brothers have. Yeah. They love to just drag each other around, pick them up, flip them, spin them around like that. They should be on Dancing with the Stars.
I honestly found that super impressive. Like they are just like so like in sync. There's just something going on with them that I really like enjoyed watching.
I really
like
them. Yeah.
So it was kind of sad to see that they didn't win in that case. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, oh wow. Like this is pretty, you know, like, I don't
athletic.
Know. I was really mesmerized. I was just like, oh, wow. Like the way that they move. Cause like, you know, when I compare it to when we, you know, had the whole like Greek or Ciampa thing, like they were obviously not anywhere like near that because they're not really partners.
A team.
So it was cool to see like two actual like team members kind of collaborate with one another.
No,
but yeah, I was just like, exactly. Yeah. I just thought it was chaotic. This is where I was kind of like, where are these people coming from? Why are they, why is it okay that they're allowed to interfere or not really, but like, you know, like, it's just like, it was a mess. It was a mess. And like, yes, mm-hmm. in some ways it's entertaining, but like, it's just kind of like, if I were in the ring, I would be super frustrated that these people are just kind of, you know, like messing up the match.
Yeah. Like, wait your like, turn.
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. this is my moment right now. This is not your moment. Leave us alone. And clearly a lot of the distractions kind of, you know, resulted in the loss. So I think it was mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, in a sense, unfortunate to see. But of course it was entertaining because I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? But I was still like, I want to see the match. You're like, yeah, you guys need exactly. to stop grabbing legs, running up, doing all this other yeah. random stuff. I'm like, okay, like this, you guys, you all are being too traumatic right now.
Geneva, and the Creed brothers are actual brothers too. And they have amateur wrestling background. So that's yeah. why they're very quick on the uptake.
Geneva, I have to ask. So if you were in a match and yeah. you're wrestling and people are interfering, like, what do you do? Like, what's your move? Are you going to, like,
I still fight feel them like off? He's are trying you going to get some to, rehab,
you know, I'm like, very curious or... because are you going to, like, walk out of the ring, grab the mic and be like, I'm not doing this and just leave?
No, I would. I mean, I would probably. I guess I would have to come after them, and then
she's
and then
a lawyer. She would argue with the ref, right?
You're I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe I would argue with the ref, but I think it really depends. How are they coming for me? Like, who these distractors? Physically? Like, I think it's well. I mean, yes, but like, how are they coming for me? So, like, it just really depends what the scenario is. So, like, you know, for example, like if they are coming after me and it's gonna like prevent me from coming after my competitor, then I'm going to go after them first because they need to get out of my way. And then I'm going to go after my competitor. Is.
That's wrestling that's, in a nutshell, right wrestling. There.
That's wrestling.
There you
wrestling.
Go.
That's wrestling.
That's literally how you make sure you don't get disqualified in a match. Like,
okay, I'm just so putting funny. Out feelers to try to figure out, like, between Kelsey and Geneva, who's going to be, like, the... Like
the manager the versus the wrestler.
Yeah, oh, we'll clip this and be like, see, we told you. We had them on first before WWE did.
Yeah, I would like sit on the ground and protest. Like, this isn't fair. This isn't what I signed up for, you guys.
Start it over.
I mean, same. That's
yeah.
Me.
Honestly, I think I'd also just be shouting at the person. I'd be like, what are you
get
doing?
Out
I just,
of here.
I'd be like, get out of here. Like, I'm tired of you. Like, I just wanna do my match. Leave me alone.
Like call me when you're ready to be serious, you guys.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I think my intensity would freak them out and then they would leave.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about MSK here because Kelsey pointed out their moveset makes you want to root for them. Very high flying, very baby face moveset. So what were your thoughts when they come out and they're getting like mercilessly booed?
I didn't notice the booing. I was just watching them and I'd be like, ooh, who are these? Like, cause every time a new people would come out, I'd like make my assessment of like, do I like them or do I not like them? And then they came out and I was like, ooh, how fun. Like they're dressed differently than everybody else. Mm-hmm. They seemed like they were fans that came onto the ring and then just were doing a good job. So I just liked them.
I can't remember in the clips if maybe they may have turned it down a little bit. Do you think?
I don't think I noticed the booing as much. But either? I was just like, I don't think I really noticed it. But then again, I was maybe more focused on like what was happening. And I was like, why are these guys out here? So more, I was actually more like
assessing
in a sense. Yeah. Like I was assessing, but I think I was a little bit more annoyed that they came out. Cause I'm like, the match is over. What are you doing? Like I think it was also just cause I had seen all the commotion to begin with. I'm like, y'all are being unnecessary. And like, to me, it's like, oh, you just want to show your superior. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't need to see that. So that was kind of my take at in that moment, in that time.
I mean, Mari, I think that they're kind of the heels in the situation.
No, they're not.
Well, this what is why you- I say that, because on so they come out to the ring, you know, after the match, they don't attack the heels who were
Imperium is exactly Imperium are the heels.
The Creed brothers were the heels in the situation.
This was a heel versus heel match, which is why we got the babyface Kushida and Hiro and the babyface MSK interrupting
it. So the thing that I'll give you is that I don't think that they didn't really frame MSK as faces here. What did they say? They said that MSK came out and like they cheap shotted Imperium. And so the language that the commentators were using to like guide how we feel didn't make them seem like good guys. I feel like they might.
And that's why I think I felt like I didn't like them as much because of what the commentators were saying. Cause I was like, obviously I don't know any of them. So like, since I have no context, I was like, this is like, why are they out here? So I think that's kind of why I had that perception. So I think the, like, kind of what Matt's saying, like, I think the commentators sometimes like skew how people view certain situations. And so like, especially if you are like a casual or newer viewer, then you're going to know, like, think, oh yeah, like I agree. Like, why is this going on? So I think I kind of had that perception.
But I think
that makes sense.
I think they're shifting, Mari, because they definitely were faces. I think that maybe in response to the crowd reaction, they're like shifting them over a bit more. But that was the thing where I'm like, why are you going to talk about this as a cheap shot? It's them getting revenge. It's them standing up for themselves.
Right. But that's what I was about to say. They did say after the cheap shots, they did say like they're getting back at them, because literally this happened in reverse last week. MSK had a match and Imperium came and beat them up after the match. So that's why I was just like, this is, you know, I didn't see it as a bad thing. And then the promo. Okay. So what do we think about the promo afterwards with MSK in the locker room? Kelsey, what vibe did you get off of that promo?
They just seemed like happy kids. Like I liked them. I liked them the whole time just because of that backflip move. Like anytime anybody does something impressive like that, I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. I'm on your team because you could, you know, do all those fun things. So I don't know. I liked them and I thought that the promo made them seem like good guys to me, but I also don't watch a lot of wrestling. So I don't know what to look for if it is a bad guy, but I like them.
It's just however you feel. It's the feeling that you get evoked. And we'll talk about that definitely later with some of the promos that I included in here. Matt, what were your thoughts on the MSK promo?
So I watched that, of course, after the match, and I was just thinking to myself, like, it's tough because they come off as like, part of me, I'm not sure watching it if they're supposed
Matt
to be
like them.
Faces or heels. But the other thing is that like they were kind of coming off a little bit as cocky as opposed to like that. This is the thing. I don't think that their characters like and their delivery of it is very clear. Like that's what I don't like about them. But I do. I like the idea of them. I like the idea of them a lot. It's just like
Matt has
up,
never liked gonna, this guy.
No, because they're not great.
It's fine
when they
it's
debuted
okay.
a little bit though, because they showed up and then they were just fun and like goofy. I remember them being with Beth Phoenix, who's one of the commentators for NXT, and just having a good time hanging out with her. But then I think they need promos to get their character across. So that's like one issue, but not this. Like, you don't need to brag. Let your work shine for itself is what I'm saying.
This was almost the definition of tweeting through it. Like, it felt like they were trying to ignore the response that they got. It was like,
exactly.
Geneva.
Yeah. Similarly, I think I kind of felt, you know, kind of like Matt. When I saw it, I think at first I was just like, okay. I don't know. I just felt like, you know, I was like, okay, you feel like you're great, whatever. I think when I watched it again, I thought about it. I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I have a little bit more background, I guess, and more context as to why they're like this. I think I do like kind of their back and forth banter. Like, I like how they are as a duo and pairing. But I think when it came to just like how they were portrayed within, you know, the match, like after the match, and how they were portrayed in this, I don't think it necessarily helps them unless they are trying to be more, you know, villainous. But I do like that they do have the confidence that regardless of whatever, you know, challenge they may have in Halloween Havoc, they're going to, you know, they're gonna, you know, achieve what they need to achieve. And I'm glad that they can have fun together.
Yeah, because they're getting a spin the wheel match, I believe. But yeah, so we say all this to say there are rumors. The reason why MSK allegedly, the reason why MSK is getting booed like that was because one of them, I don't know which one of them, said something to the effect of, there was this girl named Izzy. It's kind of a long story, but she was her and her family were a prominent mainstay in NXT. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the NXT crowd is very small and it's normally like the same people because it's in the same place. Unlike SmackDown or Raw, they always are traveling to different places, filling like big arenas. Meanwhile, NXT stays in their one location and basically the same people come out to the tapings. And not only that, not only do the same people come out to the tapings, but, oh no, it's live. So never mind. Yeah, the same people come out to the taping. So there's a little girl named Izzy. Backstory, a few years ago, she's a really big wrestling fan. She was included in some of the Sasha Banks versus Bayley matches. There you go.
Aww. There you go, Matt.
Yeah, Izzy. That's like 6 years ago. So she has started to be a wrestler. She is training to be a wrestler. She's now 14. And one of the guys made maybe a comment saying that 14 is a little bit young to be wrestling. The parents took that personally. Apparently, the parents know a lot of the crowd there and basically have tried to torpedo MSK's NXT. This is all allegedly. Allegedly, they get some people to boo them anytime they are out there. I don't know why they would have that much sway. I mean, there are a lot of aspects of Izzy's training and what's going on with Izzy and her parents that I kind of agree with MSK.
I can confirm that the parents DM'd me, and that's the reason I have anything negative to say about MSK. So...
I thought you were serious.
To you too, Matt.
Yeah.
We're not. We are not those people, Kelsey.
I was like, oh, wow, you are connected in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Matt, can you and Mari? No. Yeah. But it is interesting. Like, I think Mari, what you laying that out is interesting. I think that, you know, my big thing is this, like, beyond MSK, because they are insanely talented, like, the I don't think that the boos are a reflection of them. I just think that WWE needs to respond to what's going on and shift the characters so that then, like, they could use the boos to their advantage. Like, see, we're getting booed because we're heels, we're getting booed for the right reasons. That's like my one thing right now with their characters. So I want them to be heels.
I agree.
So bad for them.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. They can turn their current gimmick, make them turn up the cockiness, and it's right there. It's like literally right there. So yeah, that's the thing. And you know, we talked about on the show maybe last week, 2 weeks ago, how we as a parent, I'm not about to tell anybody how to parent their child. But I will say that you should mind the company.
We might get canceled by these parents.
I don't care. You should mind the company your children keep. You know what I'm saying? So her training to wrestle with a woman who had racial complaints about her, making racist comments about her. What? Also, a man who is a...
Mari, roll back. Roll back.
Yes.
Are you talking about?
I'm talking about Izzy training with Tessa Blanchard, which we talked about last week.
I didn't realize that Izzy was training with Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Izzy's canceled now. Sorry. Nice knowing you.
She's training. She trained with Tessa Blanchard and the dude. Chance Raisin. We're not going to talk about that because Geneva's on here, and maybe I'll ask her during one of the breaks
allegedly.
If we can get sued, but
probably
allegedly.
I mean, we could always
remember, she can't give legal advice.
Yeah.
He was
don't
caught
get
up
Geneva in,
some, in
trouble.
I'm he was caught up in some of the law. Speaking out.
Not give legal advice.
Hey, I'll still take it. I don't care. I'll take the half legal advice. But he was called out during the speaking out movement. There was a speaking out movement in wrestling that involved sexual harassment of women and young children. So that's all I'm going to say. So,
and she's training with him?
Yeah. So moving on.
We pull up so much. We always, we're just here to point out all of the super problematic people and things. And that's one of them. And I mean, I will say, like, this, she's very active. I would encourage people to also follow Izzy just to see what she's up to and what she's doing, because she gives an inside peek into her career. She'll probably be in WWE at some point, which is, I think, like one big reason I follow her on Twitter, because she posts some training stuff, but mostly she does some like not promos, but like just some different. She does some media for interviews. NXT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she'll still pop up on stuff. But yeah. Wild times. Am I right?
Man.
And I think I don't have a problem with her training. Like I think Sasha kind of started pretty young. I think a lot of people Paige started at 13. So like I don't think that's at least not for me. That's not the problem for me.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, the circles she's running in that I definitely have a problem with, and we've talked about that literally last week.
You know what? And I'll also say that like it takes a community to raise a child, and we are that community. Mari is the mom of the community. I'm the dad. Geneva, you could be the first cousin. Kelsey, you could be the nanny.
Great.
And that's the community. Like, I think I do think it's good to like point these things out, because not enough people are talking about it and mention these things. So
Mari, that does seem uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we got a little package from Mandy Rose and Raquel Gonzalez. They're going to be fighting at Halloween Havoc next week. It literally is just a promo package for the NXT Women's Championship.
This was a very interesting promo.
Yeah, Matt. Package. Yeah, please.
Because I will give you, we got the contrast here. We got the contrast. You know, next week we're going to have, as Mari just mentioned, Raquel Gonzalez, Mandy Rose going head to head for the NXT Championship. I'm so curious to hear your thoughts, Geneva and Kelsey, because like we get Raquel on a motorcycle. I didn't know that she rode a motorcycle before that.
Did we actually see her riding it? I can't remember.
No,
I remember
she was on it. She wasn't like on it. She wasn't riding it, but she was definitely on it. Yeah. So I don't know if there's any motion. And Mandy Rose, we got her coming out of a pool. We got her in someone's convertible driving it. We got her working out at the gym. We got it all from her. And so I like this dynamic that's built up of Raquel as this workhorse and Mandy Rose as like this fitness brunette Barbie. We'll work on that. But it's very clear that they're telling like a simple classic wrestling story there, which is always easy to follow. Is it easy to follow?
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved the quote from Mandy. When people see me, they stop in their tracks in awe of me. And I was just like, I love the enthusiasm for yourself. Like you have to be your own cheerleader, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That part was so silly. I was like, oh my gosh.
Right. Like, please tell me your struggles, Mandy. Please.
I mean, it's real. It must be hard to be that beautiful.
It must be. It is, actually.
You know what?
I probably relate more to Raquel than I would say Mandy. So I think I was rooting for Raquel in this promo personally, but honestly, I thought they were both great.
Outside of the gimmick, I like how they I'm glad, because that's what they're trying to get across, right? Mm-hmm, Geneva. Yeah. But I like the fact that like this also, if you know who Mandy Rose is, like this kind of cuts out and a lot of backstory and doesn't give her a ton of credit. Like she's the more experienced one in the ring. She comes from a fitness model, but like fitness background, so she's like no stranger to the gym. And Raquel's making it sound like, well, I'm busy in the gym. Mandy is like, I don't even know what she's
changing her hair color.
Hair color, which is like, it doesn't take that long.
Yeah,
she did that weeks ago.
Exactly. And Mandy's been wrestling for about 6 years now.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Raquel's been wrestling for about
three?
How long?
Three?
Okay.
I want to say it's like three.
And Mandy's like, I've been called many names. Hot, sexy, eye candy. But one thing they've never called me is champion.
Mandy, let's talk about it. Because I felt that this promo was also a little poignant pointed, should I say, because she caught flack last week. Geneva, can you guess what I'm about to say of why she caught a little bit of flack last week?
Did she say something potentially problematic?
No. No, it's actually her look. It's actually her look.
That's not okay.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It was like a, it was a, I'll just say, she, was it a specific picture, Mari?
There was one picture in that promo that I was like, y'all really did that. So, Mandy Rose has been tanning. She did go to dark.
She tanned, yes.
She's been tanning awfully, awfully, awfully dark. Bro, people were pointing it out early last week. And not even just like, from all that I saw on Twitter when it first started, it was just basically like, yo, somebody needs to tell Mandy Rose to put the spray tan down. It was like, it was very like at her expense at first. It was just like, whoa, yo, get your girl, you know, because we just had the little mix stuff with, I don't even remember the girl name already. The girl from Little Mix who had been tanning directly. So it kind of bled over to the wrestling thing. And then it started out like kind of all fun and games. And then we had people, you know, trying to jump to her defense, which always happens with wrestling fans because they always take it too far and being like, oh, I hate all the people who are complaining. I hate black female wrestling fans. I legit saw that tweet and I was like, they were getting like ratioed out to the oblivion. So at least that made me feel better. Like it was like really bad ratios. One of the worst ratios I've seen in my entire life. So, but then Mandy herself like responded to it in such a way that it was just kind of like, girl, I don't think that's how you should have done that. It was something to the effect of, oh, I have hater, you know, it's just haters and we're not going to let them get to me or something like that. I'm trying to pull it up to see if I can't remember.
So basically ignoring it and just saying, oh, whatever, I'm just getting criticism for who I am.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with, oh, okay.
Yep, exactly. So,
well, I guess I was rooting for the right person then. From this
point. Yeah. So I like note to everybody out there, if you are accused of tanning your skin to the point where you're just like blackfishing, you know, don't double that's down.
But you know what? I'll also say, yeah, that's like perfect advice. Like you, but that also applies beyond, like that applies to a lot of things. Like if anyone's angry at you for a thing that you did that you didn't even realize you did, just like take a second to learn, you know, the more, you know, that's it.
A lesson from Mari and Matt.
A lesson from Mari and Matt.
So she just basically tweeted out, I really wonder about some people on here. So sad. SMFH.
You know what? Also, though, the other thing is like just log off. Log off is what I would even say. Just log off and take a break. Don't even, you know, learn, read your books, put down your Twitter feed.
But I guess the one thing I can say about the edit, though, is like kind of like you guys were saying earlier, is it is kind of weird that it was Mandy was kind of painted more just like as this like beauty girl. And then, you know, and then we just had that contrast with Raquel. Like, I just found it really weird because I'm like, well, isn't this about wrestling? So I, you know, I mean, I guess she's, you know, I mean, she does know like these are the things I've been called, but I've never been a champion. But it's like maybe show like why you're not fitting into a certain, you know, stereotype or perception, I guess. I think would have been more interesting to see from her, you know.
Or even like just the attempt of the character to be like, oh, yeah, I'm not this like beauty. I don't always wear makeup or always dye my hair, and you know, but I think that it's like interesting because it kind of opens up all of this sort of, this is like a whole other conversation, but it's sad because it does open up like people and the wrestling world to like probably make comments about her looks that are over the line.
But because she wasn't refuting them, though. That was kind of like the problem, like you guys said, it was no refutal. It was just like, some people say I'm beautiful. I am. Some people say I'm sexy. That's it. Like, it's just like, what? Like, okay.
And it's like, but I've never been a champion. So it's like, okay, so then why do we root for you? Like, you need to give me a reason to root for you.
Because I'm sexy and beautiful.
Yeah. Or at least use that to show why she will be the champion. I don't know. Yeah. Like, if you're going to say that, like, use it in some way to say, like, oh, my beauty is going to, I don't know how to say it, but like my beauty is going to give me the confidence to like beat my competitor or something.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Deep.
And I don't know. I just thought, I haven't liked this Mandy Raquel storyline since it started because I don't care about either one of it's them personally. Yeah. It's not. And at first I was convinced that I think Mandy Rose would take it. And I was also thinking maybe they'll give it to other toxic attraction girls. So that toxic attraction has all the gold, but it's just like, it's too early for that, I think. And why would you take the belt off of Raquel right now if you're not going to move her up to what's called the main roster, y'all? This is developmental. This is literally their developmental brand. So this is for people who are new. And so that's why they're kind of getting more new talent out there without mixing with a little bit of the older talent. But Raquel's been down in NXT. So if you're gonna, you know, I would think you would move her up to the main roster. However, we just had a draft and she wasn't drafted. So to move her up to the main roster right now just would not make sense because the main roster itself is still trying to get acquainted to the draft. So my only thought process would be Raquel would probably show up in the Rumble. I can't remember if she was in the last Rumble. So in January. So either Raquel is going to retain and they'll figure out who they want to put that belt on, who they want her to give the rub to, or maybe she'll give it to Mandy Rose here and then we'll have somebody chase. But I can't even think of a baby face right now, Matt. I can't think of a single women's like baby face. Like, who's their top baby face on the brand? Because I guess Raquel is. Technically, no, Raquel is.
She's not going anywhere. She just basically got there, like, at the start of this year. I mean, she really only truly started wrestling, like, at the start of this year. Or she really was coming to her own start of the year. So I think she needs a lot more time.
The end of last year, start of this year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she needs a lot more time to do it. So I don't think she's going anywhere.
But do you think she needs to still be holding that belt? Like, her title reign itself has been very lackluster.
They could do, I'll take Toxic Attraction and an interesting story over what they're doing with Raquel. But you know what? I think the other piece of it too, Mari, is that I think that we might get, I mean, there's a video package that we got of a mystery person who's
going
to be there next week. And I mean, that could very well relate to, well, I think overall, I think that it's a woman, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
but I think that could relate either to Raquel and this title match with Mandy. That could relate to like bringing in a new top female face or baby face, good person. So we'll talk about that.
All right. Well, so yeah, we'll move on because we spend entirely too much on this.
Anything else? No, I'm just joking.
I know.
I have 5 more minutes that I want to talk about. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. About Mandy and her spray tan. So what I really want to get y'all opinions on, we got Tony D'Angelo came back. He continued his winning streak. So this is his second match. He had his first debut match about 2 weeks ago. He was then asked to be on Lashing Out with Lash Legend last week, but then a producer for Lashing Out told him he was cut for time, like they couldn't come on. And then that producer magically disappears. So, but it's not by magic. It's not magically, because we did get a promo from him last week where he's talking about savoring his victory and he wanted to come on Lashing Out, but they said that they didn't have any time for him. So he said, you know, it's whatever. He walks away. He's talking in front of a trunk. He walks away from the car trunk. And then we just hear like muffled like noises from the trunk. Yeah. That was the promo last week. So then he comes out this week. He has a match against Ru Fang, which I think is just a jobber match. It's just this is what we call a squash match. This is what the type of match you give somebody. You're trying to build them up. You're trying to make them look strong. You just give them a quick match against a nobody. And then after the match, Samantha asked him, you know, a producer went missing. Do you know anything about that? And he's like,
yeah.
No, you know, I don't know anything about that. He tries to bribe her, and he says, forget about it.
Who does she think she is? Who does she think she is?
Asking him questions.
Does she think she's like, I don't know what who I am coming out with the references from before my time, but does she think she's like Geraldo Rivera or something? I think she's just like trying to figure out
investigative journalism.
It's deep investigative journalism. And I would not ask him, like, you don't ask someone who's potentially guilty of kidnapping, like,
yeah,
did you do this? Because you will be next. Samantha, I don't think we'll see you next week.
For bribing her.
Yeah, he needs to go on a vacation.
Kelsey, what did you think of Tony D'Angelo?
I think he was my favorite of all the clips. Like, it was so funny to watch his, like, Joey impression from Friends. Just, like, forget about it. Like, and my husband...
Forget about it.
He's been watching so many like, Soprano episodes. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, this is just more Sopranos. Seriously, wrestling. Mm-hmm. There's Sopranos, even. Like, yep, it's so funny watching him. And I loved the chef's kiss hand motion for all of his fans and the audience. It was... I feel like it was such a complete character. Like, they had thought through every element of his character, and it seemed very, like, specific, and it was fun because of, like, how he's clearly a bad guy, but, like, you want to see what he's gonna say, and I appreciated even down to his wardrobe. It seemed like he was a very well thought out character. Yes, with the hat, with the velvet track pants, the tank top. Yeah, like it was so specifically well thought out that I just enjoyed all the pieces and elements of his, like, bad guy character.
You know, I will just throw in there, like, a question that Mari and I have been asking each week is, like, is this offensive? I think that this, like, just breaking down, like, all of the things... I need someone to just let me know that this is offensive, because I have a feeling that it might be like, what does Italian American?
That's what I was about to say. I was like, do we have any Italian American RHAP people?
Yeah. Does anyone, we need to call them up, all of them. I'm sure that we do, but yeah,
I'm not Italian.
Thank you.
You at least know there are two people who are not Italian.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll make some calls.
Yeah. Just saying, like, let us know. Send us an email at wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. And we will keep us updated.
Because this character really has, when if you were listening to the commentary, he really has been taking we say it every week, like, Twitter by storm, social media. Every time he comes out, it's the little hand emojis. They were saying, like, they need to rename it the D'Angelo emoji. And I mean, as soon as Tuesday happens, I see people on Twitter like, it's Tony time, and then with the voice and and then the Soprano clips and all the clips of the guys. And he himself seems to, this is one of those characters, Geneva, you asked me, is this like the person? It seems like it. Like, he's on Instagram, he stays, like, in a hot tub with a cigar. This seems like this is him. He is, you saw the tattoo, he is Italian American. This is him turned up to 11. This is what your character, the best characters, are based off of. It's a little bit of truth to it, and then over exaggerate it for entertainment purposes. Yeah. What did you think, Geneva?
Yeah, I mean, at least he is Italian, so it's not as, you know, weird to see him do it, because I think then otherwise, I think I'd feel a little bit weird about it, to be honest. But I think, you know, I think it's great. Like, I think even though, you know, he is kind of villainous in some way, he still comes off pretty likable and pretty enjoyable. And so I thought it was kind of great to, you know, see, you know, how he, you know, just kind of think, like, carries the room, like, grabs people's attention, the audience. And even, like, as he went through the match, like, you could see that personality as he was even competing. Yes. Like, you heard him talking, you know, talking and giving commentary to, like, Ru Fang as he was fighting him and saying, you know, a lot of different things. And, you know, even the commentators were like, oh, he has this, like, swagger all of a sudden and all this sort of stuff. So, I think, you know, I think it makes it quite, you know, entertaining to see how he, you know, goes, you know, he keeps the character involved even through, like, the match, which I think, you know, he's really committed to it, which I think makes it, you know, a heightened part of entertainment. But then just the whole, like, when he got questioned, he's just like, you know, you're being real nosy, you're some kind of snitch. You look, I swear on my grandfather Junior's grave, I know nothing about nothing. All right. Yeah. You know, like maybe you went on vacation. You know what I'm saying? Like that sort of thing.
So funny. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Samantha.
Shout out Samantha, to Samantha.
I know that you're an RHAP listener.
Yeah, she is.
You're clearly tuned in right now, listening an hour, 55 minutes into this podcast. I want you to know you need to get out of there because you're going to take a vacation with that producer Mark in a little bit. Like, forget about figuring out what's actually happening and just get out of there because you're going missing, girl. And we tried to warn you.
Yeah, we don't want to see you. That.
But and Ruthane clearly cannot protect you.
No.
Ruthane's
probably going to go missing too.
Yes, Geneva. I loved his pants.
I love that aesthetic. It was it was great.
Tony's pants?
Mm-hmm. No, Ruthane's pants.
Mm-hmm. No,
they were like the black leather pants. They had like the purple and the blue. It was quite a look.
We do love, like the wet, kind of wet look
on the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, cool. And then his hair was the same. I feel like the juxtaposition of these two characters was really interesting. It's like they were both really well thought out with like, these are opposite people doing very clear opposite things. It was interesting to watch this one. I feel like character wise.
Yeah. And that kick in the face really woke him up, Tony.
Yeah.
And he was just like a whole nother he was literally a whole nother person. It was quite a match, like more, I think. But I think that's the thing where kind of like we've been talking about, like the story development and like trying to connect, you know, like a lot of the different aspects of the storyline to the wrestling. And so I think that's kind of partially where that question came from with Samantha. You know, tying in that promo, you know, into like within the scenario. But then it's like, if you don't watch these things, it's like, well, what is she talking about? Like, you know, but I think it's cool for those who are really dedicated fans, who see all the clips, who watch all the promos, who are really engaged, you know, within the wrestling community, because then they kind of see a story continuing on, like beyond, you know, what was made previously. So I thought that was kind of cool to, you know, make that connection to be like, you know, like at first, like seeing the promo, it's like, okay, this is weird. And then when she asks about it, I was like, oh yeah. And now I just made that connection that has to do with that. And that's why she's inquiring about it. So I thought it was really cool to see it in that context.
Yep. Yeah. Glad I could make sure we got that to you guys. And finally, we got a lot of good promotes. Wow.
Just the video. We had like these different promos video packages and that came up.
Yes.
And it was three of them.
Mm-hmm. I have so many questions about this first one.
Okay. So this first one, assuming you mean
Joe Gacy.
Is it Solo Sikoa or is it?
No, it's Joe Gacy.
Joe Gacy.
Ooh.
Yeah. So what's your question to Kelsey?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So we have a close up on this person who is just spouting off every phrase that he's so clearly a bad guy. Like he's so, and then you see that he's in prison and he's talking to someone who puts their hand up against his hand through the glass. Oh, like God, he's like mentoring someone and like just saying all of these things. What is happening? Who is this person?
Follow me, little snowflake. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I was just like,
yeah.
So Joe Gacy, he's been calling him. What he's been calling himself? Like he creates safe space in the ring. He is in a fight against toxic masculinity in WWE. He's basically like the social justice warrior character that the WWE has come up with. And it's so, and I've been talking about this for weeks. It's so fascinating to me because he's supposed to be a heel bad guy, but everything he's saying for me was connecting for me because and I'll talk about the difference this week. This week was a clear difference that I love that they turned the heat up on it. But like a few weeks ago, Ciampa had said something like, oh, let's see who has the balls to step up to me. And Joe Gacy came up to him and said, hey, that's not safe language. A little bit misogynistic asking for people who have balls to come out. And it's so he's that type of an annoying character. that overdoes it. He's like, wins and losses don't matter. We all participate. We all get participation trophies. It's basically what a 70-year-old man thinks a social justice warrior is.
Exactly.
And he's supposed to be the bad guy, which, again, annoys me.
Well, it felt like he was making fun of all of it. Like, it felt like he was taking these, like, actual, like, good things and then just making fun of it with, like, spouting it off one by one and, like, making light of it almost was what I took away from the clip.
But it's weird. Like, I guess the thing that is confusing and also annoying about this is, like, even what you said, Kelsey. So did you get the sense that the character was making fun of it or the performer was making fun of it?
Wait, what's the difference?
Oh, that's,
I don't know. It
seems like he was not sincere. Like,
it, yeah. Okay.
Because then also, he's like, we won't be triggered by the words of the fragile people who don't understand us and any microaggression they throw our way. I was like, microaggression?
Yeah.
I was confused. I was like, what microaggression? What?
So
it seems like he's making fun of people.
Wait, are they making fun of us?
This is the week
they turned it up. So this is the week they turned it up, right? So before this, all of his promos have been in passing. They've been it's been lighter, actually, in a sense. And like, he came and he sat into the ring and he's like, I challenge anybody to come here. We will have a match, but this is a safe space for us to exercise our energy and stuff like that. And it was way more of sinister motivational speaker to now this week. When I said they turned it up, because this week it felt very targeted to, like, for me, kind of like Black wrestling fans, like what we hear from white allies who we're like, you are not an ally. He was like, let my voice be the one to speak up and we create a coalition that I can lead. It was so it was so nuanced. And that's why I liked it so much. Like, I like this character arc. I understand he's a bad guy. I will probably be rooting against him at one point, but I just love the, you have to have, whoever's writing this has to know what the base is. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to know the touch point when it comes to like the liberal agenda, you know what I'm saying? To know that Black people and when they talk about our issues, there is a fine line when we have our white allies, and for this guy to just cross them, like, is what gets it onto the heel side. And I love that about this. What did you guys think?
Who was he talking to?
Okay. Yeah. So the guy he was, I always forget. I forgot that he was like, it was like,
right.
It was that guy is, he premiered last week. He didn't even premiere. He was just like sitting in the audience and he attacked Ciampa last week. I do not remember his name, but he is like a known indie guy. I don't know him. And his name was very basic. Started with an H or something. Harland? I can't remember, Matt. Yes. Harland. Yes, exactly. And we don't know his character yet because he's been presenting as a very sinister, like kind of like Dexter did. He just didn't talk. He beat people up and he run. Like they haven't called him a performer yet. Like, he hasn't come through the back or be a wrestler. Like, every time we've seen him, he's been like in the audience, just like being all weird. So I don't know if they're in the prison. I don't know if he's now going to be Joe Gacy's follower. But I love this. I love this character for the nuance of it all.
I thought you said father. I don't know if he's going to be Joe Gacy's
follower.
Father.
Follower.
No, you said follower.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just all about the family vibes on this week's podcast. Okay. But, you know, I think the other aspect is like, what if it's someone who's coming out to expose the character, to be like, no, 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 this is all fake. Like, he is not here to create a safe space. This is not real. Mm-hmm. It is weird, though, this creeper in the, you know, like, if you're going to creep, why would you buy a ticket to show where you're on camera when you could just creep from
the
parking
front row?
Lot
yeah.
For free.
Yeah. And again, it seems like they're giving us, this is amateur. Like a right. Joe Gacy is giving us a right to censor style villain where the villain thinks they're the good guy.
Holier, and they're, like, quote unquote. Holier.
Yes.
Now is
exactly.
Not that it's a religious gimmick at all, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I loved it. I just loved how bad, like, how I was like, oh, you're trying to make me hate you. I love this. I hate you. Like,
I love it's you. Working. I love
yeah, you. Exactly. It's working. Yeah, it's so pointed.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I like that. Next up, we had Solo Sikoa. So this one is like, it's not much if you don't know like the real backstory to it. But basically, this is the Usos' little brother. So
I was going to say, even without the backstory, Mari, like, without the backstory, this promo is kind of ridiculous.
It's just random.
He's just hitting a light pole, like a lamp post.
Yeah. Like, that can't be part of your training. And, like, he's like punching that. Or
something over his head. I don't know. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know what's happening. But I was like,
she's just shadow boxing, talking about how he's like a good fighter or something.
The street champion of the island. Street champion of the island. Like, I don't think he said what island.
No, I knew from the cold pavement to NXT, the
team
has changed, but the beatings remain the same to anyone that steps.
Yes.
He's a street champion of the island. I don't know. But
yes. We
love so again, the Usos are the people who, like, they super kick Brock in the face. They're the ones who are running with Roman Reigns because they're all cousins. Yeah. They're the bloodline. And he is their little brother. He does not have a name that's similar to them. People are a little mad about that. They're like, why don't they let you use like a Uso name? And he's basically kind of come out on Facebook and be like, I want to kind of run my own lane right now. Like, wait for it. You'll see. And he's supposed to debut. But the kind of just the cherry on top for this for like hardcore wrestling fans like us, he's like platinum blonde. And it's a callback to his father, Rikishi. The Usos' father is Rikishi. And Rikishi used to wrestle with Platinum Blonde. And if you know even a smidgen about wrestling, Rikishi was really big in the early 2000s because he's a very big dude. And he was known for rubbing his butt in
posterior into people's noses and things. I'm just going
to... It was amazing. There you go. Yeah.
I don't want to get canceled from YouTube, for it. So we're just and I mean, look.
Yes, Rikishi.
Literally, that was amazing. Like the thing. He was a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah,
man. I mean, you could imagine.
He went back.
What a toddler move, though.
Yeah, it back then. That's what
it him
loved.
Or is it he's doing it for the reaction? Like,
a stink face, like a stink face. That's what they call it. Stink face when you just rub your butt in somebody's face. That move pops. Everybody like it literally pops the crowd. Nia Jax just did it earlier this year.
She did it a few times, I think.
She did exactly like it is.
Man,
it is just the lowest
she's like, in the
common
family.
Denominator when it comes to humor. Like it really is, and we cheer for it. We cheer for it.
No, I'm booing.
It doesn't have to be
at a show
sophisticated all the time.
Doing it, I'm booing it because that's not.
It does not have hygienic. To be sophisticated all the time.
That is not hygienic.
Give us poop jokes. Don't do
wrestling
it. I'm just playing.
Send it to Cinnamon. Talks too much. Too,
nope. Like, too much. So yeah. So I'm gonna say
so I could laugh.
He's gonna make his debut at Halloween Havoc. Again, we don't know if that's a match or if he's just gonna come out and mess with somebody. So I'm excited to see what he does because again, he comes from a very famous and a very long wrestling dynasty. Mm-hmm. So a lot of pressure, but we'll see if he can. His promo makes it seem like he needs to rise to it. So we're good with that. And finally, this last one we're going to go over. The mysterious superstar to be unveiled at Halloween Havoc. I think Matt talked about it a little bit later. Definitely feels like a woman. And definitely feels like a woman we know. Named Ember Moon, whose shirt I'm currently wearing. I don't know. There's a lot of guesses. We just put this out here to you guys because this is we've been getting these mysterious vignettes. It's a person saying they're burying their old character and they're gonna. It's a rebirth of a character. It's what a lot of people are guessing. Geneva? What did you think about the mysterious promo itself?
I mean, I figured there was a lot of, imagery, a lot of, there was a lot of focus on just elements of, Halloween, of course, because of Halloween Havoc. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of shoveling. I saw snakes. I saw lightning bolt. I saw an owl.
There was a full moon.
Spider car. Oh, yeah.
A cat suit. They were wearing a cat suit. There was a crutch, a steel chair, an owl, a broken TV thrown to a pit, a tarantula, a stack of playing cards, a crow. a mirror that was smashed. A poster.
Yeah, they had a lot of things.
There was a poster, by the way, from NXT War Games 2020 last year, where there was a match that featured two people who could potentially be returning, Dakota Kai.
I saw Dakota Kai a lot in the comments.
Ooh, and then the other person is Ember Moon, who Mari mentioned. So
that's who I think it's going to be.
It was quite interesting. I mean, obviously, since I don't know who could be, I'm intrigued to find out who will actually be and to see whose theories are right. Because I know a lot of people were like, someone was like, if you slow it down to like the 19-second mark, there was a poster from like NXT TakeOver War Games 2019.
Exactly.
If you look at this, then it's probably like Dakota or like, or whatever. I don't know. So I saw a lot of different interesting theories in the comments. So
from 2019?
And then some other people like were maybe 2018, but then other people are like, no, 2019. Talking about crutches, past injury. So there were like a lot of different interesting theories I saw.
It could be Tegan Nox, who is a wrestler who I'm pretty sure is on the main roster of WWE.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
They drafted her. I don't know why I think this is someone who had a knee injury. 2019 is weird. I didn't even realize that was from 2019, the poster, because I did put it down to 0.25x speed just for the expert analysis. And we have questions. We don't answer.
There's a lot of questions. Them in a week. Yeah, because 2019, that's back with Bianca and Shayna and Io and Kaylee Ray. Dakota, Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, and Rhea Ripley. So as it stands, Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai, if I remember correct. Well, no, Tegan was drafted. Dakota was moved up to SmackDown, but never debuted. And actually, I don't think Dakota was drafted. Yeah, she wasn't officially drafted. So could be Dakota. Candice LeRae is pregnant, obvi. Rhea Ripley is currently a tag team champion on Raw, so I think that puts her out of it. Shayna is...
She's busy. She's very busy.
She is, and I'd be very upset if they brought her back down to NXT. Bianca, of course, star right now. Io is currently in the women's tag team division. So Kaylee Ray?
Potentially.
Kaylee Ray is
but
in
then
NXT
again,
UK,
Mari,
but she hasn't
Mari,
debuted.
Literally, like, a month and a half ago, early September, Ember Moon and Kaylee Ray had a match on NXT.
Oh, snap.
So, weird times. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. We don't know anything. We try to speculate. We know absolutely nothing. Kelsey, Geneva, we literally know
nothing. Let you know. Yeah. Let you know what happened.
It's okay. I allowed you all to brainstorm.
And to vent, really, about our confusion.
How does that not get leaked, though? Like, how are people not, like, seeing who is going into the, like, training areas and, like, tweeting that out with pictures of, like, who? Like, I'm thinking of, like, how celebrity sightings are everywhere. Like, how are the rest? How is the wrestling community not, like, seeing the people that are walking into the building to go train and it not getting leaked?
I think it's part of it. Well, I think it's a couple things. One, I think that if I had to guess, like, because those people are going to train there like all the time, and there's so many people who go to train. So even if you see like Ember Moon showing up, I mean, that's the thing with WWE, even on the main roster, a lot of people who are not actually on the shows will be backstage. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there are rumors like, hey, so and so was backstage. Like, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, but yeah, and also like, I hope there aren't a ton of people sitting outside their training center with like their iPhones. That was another issue in the past. Stalking incident, long story. Don't want to talk about it. Probably shouldn't. I mean, that's a long story. Legal, anyway, allegedly.
Yeah. So basically, there's always rumors. There's always rumors.
Gotcha.
Always. And you just never know if they're right until it's after it happens. So that's all. That's just how it goes. And NXT is a little bit more insulated because, like we said, they stay at the one building. They don't have to roam around the country and stuff like that. And they could keep their sources a little tighter in NXT with it being developmental. So that's it. Like, it, we'll find out when we find out, and we'll pass it along to you guys.
There you go.
Because I am interested to see what's going on. So we have to move on because we haven't even gotten to SmackDown. That was a great in-depth look at NXT. Again, all of the highlights that we're talking about can be found in our show notes or in the description if you're looking at the YouTube page here. So you can always watch, follow along, and listen. So we got to get to SmackDown.
Let's do it.
And again, there wasn't much. There wasn't much. So that's why it's okay. We spent that time on NXT. But again, we have to come back to Brock Lesnar, Roman, WWE official Adam Pearce, and everything, the fallout from Crown Jewel, because as soon as Brock Lesnar left, he said, as soon as I see Roman, I'm going to beat the crap out of him, basically. So Roman comes out to the ring. He kind of dresses down Paul Heyman for a second because, you know, it's still kind of unclear who Paul was throwing that championship to, you know. And then Roman dares Brock to come. Roman talks about all the people he smashed during his reign. You guys, he's been champion for like 400 something days. It's been over a year now. He's on a really good heel run. And then Brock Lesnar shows up and does exactly what he says he's going to do. He just starts beating up Roman. He starts beating up, I think the Usos come out at one point. He just starts beating. I know the Usos came out at some point, but he just starts beating everybody up. He tossed the cameraman, broke the camera.
I was like, poor cameraman. I can't believe this is happening. Not him. They said it might have been a $10,000 camera or something. Yeah. And I was like, yikes. And then throwing those stairs.
200-pound steps.
He's like 100 pounds.
Yeah, Pat.
200 pounds.
200 pounds.
Double it.
I love Pat. He's so crazy. We know that's not 200 pound steps there, Pat.
Roman, he didn't know, so he was like, I'm just gonna throw out numbers.
200 pounds.
Roman is so extra. Like, whenever, if you ever watch a Roman Reigns match and he gets thrown into the steps, guarantee they're gonna go flying like that. When he as soon as he hits them, he also throws them. Like, I love it. It's kind of a callback to, he's loosely related to The Rock, and The Rock oversells everything, which is why we love The Rock as well. Brock Lesnar just went on a tear here. So WWE official Adam Pearce had to tell him he was suspended. The only thing I don't like about this is they've run this storyline before with Brock. Like, Brock is not a full-time performer. He comes and goes, and he's very like main attraction-ish. So they've literally done this exact storyline. I can't remember if it was with Roman. It might have been with Seth. But like, he comes back, he tears everything up, they suspend him indefinitely, and then he pops up sometime else down the line. So it's a little lazy booking there, but... Yeah. It's still fun to watch him like completely decimate.
Involve everyone.
Yeah.
How is he just suspended? Like, why wasn't he fired? That's my problem. Who are all the people he assaulted? He assaulted this camera person. He assaulted the ring post with the camera. That's Angel damage Garza, to other property.
A ref, right?
That's not okay. Ref,
yeah.
We can't.
At that point,
a few wrestlers too. And
but they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have done it while he was there, as a commentator said. Adam Pearce should wait till he was gone. <'Cause> that man's pants got ripped right from that F5. That was so crazy. Oh, I was like, how did this happen?
And it's sad because they pointed it out on commentary, so it's pants are ripped.
So you had to look. You literally had to look at the pants ripping.
So embarrassing.
It was very, very funny.
So much power.
Geneva, I know you said you were really looking forward to this part here, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just legit shocked. It went to a whole nother level, you know? Throwing people against these stairs, throwing Roman against the pole, and then they're like, oh, I don't think anyone's been hit that hard against the pole, and just like, I don't know, just throwing people over these barriers, everyone's coming for him, he's just throwing them all to the ground, and I'm just like, it was just chaotic, people are just trying to stop him, it just clearly wasn't working, and then, you know, mm-hmm. it clearly showed that, Roman was like, oh, well, I'm so superior. I can beat anybody. I can beat, Brock and all this sort of stuff. So I'm going to wait till he comes. I'm not going to leave until he comes. And I'm like, mm-hmm. This man probably regrets this now. got destroyed. Like, he literally got destroyed. And so I was just like, but this is also the thing. Like, Paul is also another example of someone where I'm like, is this part of this an act?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or are you legit scared? Because, like, I could understand both, because some of it looks like he's, like, doing a little much. But also, like, part of it was also kind of like, yeah, no, like, I would be scared of Roman and Brock, honestly, all of the, in general, because, they train, they're experts, that sort of thing. So it was just it was all chaotic. So I was just seeing the other people beyond Roman and Brock get involved and seeing what happened to them, I think was just like what was like just shocking and surprising to see, especially if you've never really watched wrestling and don't know the context of any of this. It's just mm-hmm. like, what the heck? It's like, what's going on?
Yeah. And I think the other thing I would mention too with that is that, like, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with something there where, like, obviously it is scripted, it's predetermined, all of those words. And, these are big people. Like, if Paul Heyman legit just starts laughing at something that they're doing and, like, not suspending disbelief and not going with it, like, these are people who could beat him up for disrespecting. He's been around the business for, like, 4 decades now, probably. So a long time in prominent roles, great acting ability. Well, very experienced with his acting abilities. I would say he's very believable. And I think he's really believable. It's just like, he is a very particular character that's like a smarmy snake rat type of thing. And, I could imagine being in the same situation. Just like, I am legit terrified. That is my role. But I'm also terrified of these big meaty men.
Slapping meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Heyman, he's one of the best managers of all time. And it is definitely him playing himself up. Yes. And that's why we really love him for that. Kelsey, what did you think?
I agree with all of it. Just how it was just craziness just to watch it all. I feel like everything I see, I just assume it's fake. Like, I assume that, like, that cameraman wasn't real, but I don't know how, like, fair that is. But I just wonder, when I'm watching this, like, if there was a real emergency and someone had to tell them that there's, like, the building's on fire. And so someone else that's not a part of, like, the choreography comes out and is just like, something's going on. Like, how do they know to actually stop, like, hurting each other? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. So in wrestling, we saw it. If you, in the JC Jane clip, they kind of cut away to commercial so you can see it. But if somebody actually gets hurt, whenever a big move happens, like to the outside or like a big impact move, what'll normally happen is the opponent, if you land on top of me, we're sitting there, we're like, oh God, we're like, on the floor, your opponent is supposed to reach for your hand and squeeze in reach for your hand, and you squeeze to indicate you're okay. You know, it's also a way to test the extremities as well. But it's a squeeze to let you know if okay. If something goes bad, then your opponent or the ref relays it to the other opponent. It just depends who's there to catch it first. More than likely it's the ref. The referees are there to definitely catch it, and then also figure out what to do depending on the severity of the injury.
Gotcha. So whenever, what were you gonna say?
So just in the case of like fires, this very specific instance of if there's a fire in
the why did, there should not be a fire.
Well, okay, so Brock,
there's so much chaos. It could start.
There could be a fire, and
Brock is pushing everyone over. So I don't know.
There was a fire in the building, and they were all coming to let him know.
Yeah,
lighting gets damaged, starts a fire. I don't know.
And he's just like pushing people over and throwing things.
Luckily, there are a lot of
there's people, like a flag.
Oh my God, the referees have earpieces. And the announcers too.
Smart.
Yes, and they'll throw up an X sign. If you ever see an X sign in wrestling, that means like the match has to stop because that's how serious of an injury or
oh, so there's like signals that everyone's aware of for safety. Yep. Okay,
like safe purposes. Words, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start doing that with my kids. Like, hey guys, like stop. It's official now. No more playing around. Just gotta try stop.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's so funny.
I love it.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. And wrestling, there's so much more to it than, you know, fake fighting and stuff like that and predetermined outcomes. Like, it really is a dance, a choreography who put it like that? But yeah, like, it really is. It's a lot. And that's why we gave Lady Ref Jess, that's what I call her, at the top of the show, her props, because it really, when you're a referee, you're not just standing there waiting to count three, you know. And I guess I'll talk about it a little bit here, but during the Bianca and Charlotte match on Monday Night Raw, you know, it looked like at one point maybe Charlotte may have been knocked out or something for a little bit. Not even knocked out, but like she definitely seemed a little loopy. Like sometimes wrestlers, they're competing, they might take a bump, but they want to finish the match. And, but it could seem like it's like the NFL in a sense, like they're still not good at, pulling people out when they need to. Mm-hmm. And, that's what Matt was commenting, came off a little sloppy with them. The match itself was pretty good, but it was overall sloppy because it looked like Charlotte may have, I don't know. It kind of seemed like Charlotte may have done something to the point where she wasn't cognizant the mm-hmm. whole time. So you could tell during that match that the ref was directing them way more than you normally would. Some matches, the ref doesn't have to do anything because the performers themselves know each other so well, they can just do whatever they want to do. But on Monday, the ref, I don't know what the reason was, but you could definitely tell that the ref was very heavy hand in it. If you're looking for it, you know. But he's very heavy handed with telling them what their spots were. Because I think something happened with Charlotte. And then, like Matt said, the ending left us all, you know, we weren't gagging because it was really bad. They ran over time and it just ended in a regular DQ. Yeah. So, it's all very important. It's all supposed to be for safety and every piece has to work correctly in order for something like this to happen. A beat down that Brock did for this to happen. You know, I'm pretty sure I could tell you that was not a cameraman. I'm pretty sure that was somebody who's used to taking bumps. Absolutely. Even though all he did was just get pushed a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't put regular people into those roles or that's whatnot.
That encourages camera
that's good.
Violence against
maybe people. a stuntman. I don't know.
Yeah, stuntman. Exactly. All of the above. All
at least I would hope so. But I hope that was like a really old camera then or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. I was like, that camera must have been like broken already. And they're like,
okay, we have a broken camera. Let's write a whole segment around it.
Segment around it, yeah.
Like all the studios, the movie, like the film sets and everything. If something gets broken, they're like, you know, just send that over to the wrestling guys. Like they could probably use it. They could repurpose it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any final comments on Roman Brock saga before we move on?
Don't underestimate Brock.
Yeah, he's scary.
So we have to talk about this again. Matt doesn't remember, but he is.
What do you mean? I might remember.
He was completely right. We
I mean,
sat here. We talked about like
times I'm right.
It's too many.
It is.
So many.
Mari reminds me of when I'm right. I just kind
512 times.
So I'm trying to give you a compliment, Mari. And you're making it very, like, hard.
Tell me about when I was right, Mari.
So we were talking about, like, that we had a fundamental problem going into Crown Jewel, that the two women's belts were drafted to the opposite brands. The Raw women's title was on Charlotte Flair, who was on drafted to SmackDown, and Becky Lynch is the SmackDown women's champion, and she was drafted to Raw. So we were like, how are the titles going to get back onto their prospective brands?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was hoping that Bianca would beat Charlotte on Monday to become the Raw Women's Champion, and then that Sasha would win the Triple Threat to become the SmackDown Women's Champion. That way that the belts ended up on their respective brands. But instead, like Matt pointed out, that probably won't happen. They'll probably just exchange the titles because they've done this before. This has happened before, yeah. And it was just as boring as before and just as annoying as before. This one, maybe a little more so, though.
I mean, I will say this. Like, I think that it's sad. Like, I don't like to be right it's about lazy. Stuff like this because mm-hmm. it's just, it is lazy, right? And so it happened. They went with the kind of lazy approach. But, I mean, it did end up being kind of an interesting segment between Becky and Charlotte and Sonya Deville, just because things apparently were going a little off the rails and it was really mm-hmm. awkward, but we'll get into that.
Right now. So according to some backstage sources or, you know, the wrestling journalist,
yeah. Quote unquote.
Yeah. Charlotte in particular was not fond of the title exchange here. She didn't want it to make the, this again, this all allegedly from wrestling journalists. We're not wrestling journalists and take it with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. but they're saying like, she didn't want her title reign to look weak. She didn't want to just do the title exchange. A rumor has it is that she actually had advocated to drop the belt to Bianca on Monday, which if that's the case, I would have agreed with that. But apparently they're saying, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same.
Same. Yeah. But she wasn't happy with the title exchange. And that's why this kind of went off the rails here. So we get, like Matt described off pod, we get Sonya Deville telling Charlotte to hand over her title. And then Charlotte holds out like she's going to hand out the title. Then she throws it. And then Sonya Deville is like, go grab the title. And then Charlotte grabs the title. Then we get Sonya asking Charlotte to give hand it to her. I think she hands her the belt. And then Sonya asks Becky to hand her the belt. I don't know. But Becky throws the belt at Charlotte. Charlotte lets the title fall to the ground. And when I watched this live.
Yeah.
I watched this live. Like I do every SmackDown and me and my husband. And I was like, yo, what is going on here? Like you can tell, I was like, this isn't that, like you could tell it wasn't right. I said like Vince McMahon has to be yelling in the back because he does not like when the big boss, he does not like when the titles are like hitting the floor or disrespected like this. And like both of them hit the floor and both of them were like very nonchalantly handled. And even watching it, I didn't know anything about we didn't know anything about the backstage heat. It just came out this morning when the segment was airing. So it was just really off-putting.
Yeah. I'll add to that too. The other thing that was like off was that there was a point illustrated by this picture on YouTube, watch this on YouTube, it was that like Charlotte started talking at one point and just even made a comment as Sonya was talking, like, first draft pick, by the way. And Sonya kept talking and it was clear that Sonya was just like, okay, I'm going to keep saying what I was saying, scripted to say.
Yeah.
But it was just Charlotte interrupting and then also turning to the audience to address that. It was very, very odd. That's wrestling.
Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about this segment?
I didn't really know what to think about it. Y'all talking about this has made me more interested about their like interpersonal dynamics. So you're saying that like backstage these two don't get along. It's not for show.
Well, so yeah, back. I mean,
that's the thing.
Here's what I've kind of got with that. Because I remember reading an interview a couple months ago, actually, when Becky Lynch, I think it was just after Becky Lynch returned, because she was out, had her beautiful child, and was getting back into the business. And someone asked her candidly, like, what's your relationship with Charlotte? And she was like, well, you know, we were really good friends, and we're not in touch every day, or we're not in touch like that often. We used to be really close, but then it's kind of like, you know, people grow apart. And that was sort of the comment where it was like, huh, they're not like the best friends that they, I'm sure, were at some point. Mm-hmm. And so it is interesting to hear this, because that kind of backs this up.
Yeah. And and that's what they said at the a little bit more of the reporting was afterwards, that there was heated exchanges in the back between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, which again, really weird, like Matt said, because they were friends. They were seen as best friends. I've said it on this podcast. Becky was normally the only person that Charlotte would put over consistently. And when we say that, means she would let Becky win. And when we say let Becky win, we mean like, it's a long story, but basically, Charlotte has enough pull because she's the daughter of Ric Flair that she, you know, she can get things done if she wanted them to get done. And, you know, in the past, I've commented that I don't think she's really helped really put many people over, or, you know, and that means like make a star, like, you know, help make somebody else look good. Charlotte doesn't do that regularly to me, for enough for my liking. And the only person that she would do that to is Becky. And Becky, one of the reasons why Becky is so popular today is because of her feud with Charlotte and Charlotte letting her go over. So really interesting that they now have a falling out here. But just more on what you guys thought of seeing the extended clip that we sent you.
Yeah.
Kelsey, did you have any more thoughts?
No, I was just, I'm more curious about their just like interpersonal dynamics. But yeah, I like rivalries. Like, I like to see people at odds against each other. You know, it makes for, that's like, I feel like that's obvious, you know, but it's fun to see whenever people disagree and, you know, have that sort of thing. I hope they're not in trouble about the belts.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the kind of another thing where I was like, when I first heard this, I was like, is this a work? So like, to let some of the stuff like this leak kind of sometimes helps them push a program. So yeah. So I don't know if this is, I thought this was a work, but then like Matt said, there has been, people did bring up the past interviews of them talking about they grew distant. And then Charlotte's fiance tweeted out basically FWWE. So, and normally that always, because he's not in WWE right now, he's in AEW. And so, yeah. So he tweeted FWWE. He since deleted it, but he's always normally has people go to his Twitter when they
want to
know
what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly. It was Charlotte. So it doesn't. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
The other thing I would just throw in too, I mean, so a few, I guess it's now like a month and a half ago, but Charlotte had another incident situation with another wrestler, Nia Jax, where very much, I think everyone was pretty convinced that it was like actually them getting aggressive in the match, like slapping each other around, and just, again, it like looked like it was going off the rails. Yeah. And
it looked like it was a shoot fight.
Exactly. And like, so, I mean, to me, if I had to get a sense, like, it seems like Charlotte's not very happy in the company or in her role. And because she's Charlotte Flair, daughter of like iconic wrestler Ric Flair, they want her around. They build so much of the company around her. And so, you know, I don't know if she needs a vacation or what she needs. Probably. I don't know her life, but she should have it. Give her a vacation and time off and whatever she wants. Yeah. Let her leave the company too.
But it's hard for me to feel sympathetic for her since she is the champion, women's champion.
It's not she didn't actually beat anyone for the championship. Right. And I think because it's pro, like because she grew up in a wrestling legacy, maybe that having the championship, I don't know, but I could see a world where it's like, my father was a 16-time champion. Like, it's not a big deal. Every other week we have a championship going through our house. So that's great. But like, things seem off with her. And so we'll watch the situation, but it doesn't seem like it's the best. I don't know. Yeah. One day I do want to hear her talk about it though. And like, give us the real tea. That's what we want. And we'll call you up Kelsey and Geneva, because that's what the people want to know.
We need the tell-all book.
Yeah.
Geneva, what did you think?
So, yeah, seeing the belts drop, I was just like, I felt uncomfortable with that, the disrespect. So I guess my question, though, is it more because of their relationship that they did not feel comfortable exchanging belts, or did it have more to do with the significance of how they won their belts? Or I guess that's why I think I was a little like, you know, because I mean, I guess it was already complex in itself that they were drafted to the, like, you know, the opposite competition. But I think that's where I was a little like, what was, you know, the, what was it,
for
was
it?
Did it have to do with, yeah.
So the vibe, what I mean, here's one thing I read in line with this, which was just that Charlotte, I think Mari, you might've said this already, but that Charlotte didn't want to look weak, which like handing over the championship, if Charlotte just hands over the championship without, you know, getting on the mic and saying something and interrupting, like, in my mind, she clearly did, saying things like, I don't think she was scripted to say anything. I think it was just, let's reluctantly hand the championships over. I don't think that's what she wanted to happen, because that kind of makes this heel character who, like, probably would never want to give up their championship, will, in her mind, look a little bit weak. So that's kind of what, that's my read on it, that she just didn't feel comfortable with the, I'm going to give my championship over to Becky. And from what I saw, and who knows what's true and what's not true. That's the thing about wrestling. There are so many rumors and wrestling journalists, quote unquote, that are out there saying different things that are not true and that are true. And so we don't know. But it was, it seems like that's the root of it. Like, how is my character being booked? Essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. How are your characters being booked? Also, like, I think with the whole Sasha coming in to like beat her up too, she didn't want to look weak or something like that.
And
they said Becky was mad because she felt like Charlotte was trying to make her look bad, which you could tell Becky was a little pissed off when she left the ring, because she's like, I'm going to just go. And like, normally she very hams it up. She's like, oh, y'all fight. Go on ahead. I'm going to leave. But it was just like, yeah, I'm going to go. And
she's like, I'll see one of you at the Survivor Series. Okay.
Bye. Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of the rumors are, it's like they're trying to figure out if Becky also calling. You know, I saw a lot of people saying like Becky is trying to take creative control over her character as well. So it seemed like both of them are trying to not look weak. And it's just like, somebody has to do the job. It's wrestling. Yeah. Somebody has to lose. But the funny thing is, this is for a segment that you're still both the champions, you know?
Yeah. And so it's like you're very losing something, but not really.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, is there some sort of significance to them with those, because, you know, that's why I was wondering. It's like weird, but if they're not really, then it's like, okay, it's just,
they both kind of won the belts around the same time. Becky won hers at SummerSlam, and then Charlotte won hers like a few weeks
July
early
before.
I
lied. That's
no,
wrong.
No. It was
she won it. Did she win that? She won that SummerSlam because Nikki A.S.A.
She won it back.
She
won it back. So I mean, it's been 2 months for both of them. So, and the belts are equal. They're both women's championship belts for each individual.
So if they're equal, so that's like why that's why I was like, maybe if there's a hierarchy, then I would understand. But if they're both women's champions, then I'm like,
Women's belt per each brand. So it just doesn't make sense. And that's why I'm like, I'm also very annoyed, because going into this, I'm like, the feud that surrounded both the belts leading up to it included Sasha Banks, who we saw, and Bianca Belair, two Black women. And the feuds themselves were so good. And, you know, the two of them helped shape that feud, just for us to get a Becky versus Charlotte, which we've seen time and time again. We've seen that dynamic so freaking often that I'm like, I am now taken out of this storyline. I just want to see if one of them is going to lose the belt beforehand, because I just don't care. I don't care about Becky versus Charlotte for the umpteenth time personally. Yeah. That's just
so for me. A general sense, I didn't really care for it, especially knowing like there's no significance either way of either one of them having one vote versus the other. Because right. To me, then it's just like, what's the point of this? So that's why I was like, it must have, maybe it's the relationship and that the state of that, and that probably had to do with it. And they just don't want to, even though they're getting something back, they don't want to give something up. So it's just that pride thing. But
and again, very lazy. And you know, maybe Charlotte just agrees with us. Like, this is dumb, lazy booking. Why are we doing this? Yeah. It makes no sense. And it does. It doesn't make any sense at all. They didn't think this through, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they fell back on, well, if we don't figure it out, just hand off the titles. Like,
yeah, I didn't really think about it that much. And it seems like it's not that serious, Charlotte. You're getting the other championship. But if you think about it, like, she won the specific championship. Mm-hmm. She's defended mm-hmm. that specific championship, carried it around, held it up, talks about how it's the best thing ever. And then she just gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like exactly like you said, Mari, like kind of lazy booking. Not that it's anything new, but again, lazy booking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but yeah, I could get that frustration. And again, maybe hopefully one day we'll actually hear her side. We'll have her on the Wrestling Wrap Up and interview her about this.
I love that.
No, I would love that.
But all of that
is Mari and Charlotte.
And so Sasha came in, and even the whole Sasha and Charlotte brawling thing it felt awkward. Again, watching it, even not knowing, and my judgment is not clouded because I said all of this at the time. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, this doesn't even feel like this is electrically charged here. I think Sasha was trying to do a good job and trying to bring the mood around. She tried to turn it around a little bit with her promo before, you know, before she stepped to Charlotte. But
let's it make was one just thing weird. Clear. The boss, the standard, the blueprint.
Yep. Runs the blue brand.
Yes.
So you think you're going to come in and take over? Well, you're out of your damn mind. And then, but this is a PG show, Sasha.
Yeah. Which, nice. Again, Charlotte pointing that out, her clearly going off script. Because if Sasha said damn or the B word, it is because they put it in that script for her to say that. So exactly. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll and they see. Both felt left out. They just left taunting each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. So we gotta get through these last few things here. But we had the coronation of King Xavier Woods. Oh my gosh, this was so great. We didn't put it at the top here, at the top of the crown jewel thing, because we knew we were going to talk about it here. Xavier Woods, oh my gosh. Like, Xavier Woods winning King of the Ring, you guys, it's like the biggest thing ever, because Xavier Woods talked about it. He's been wanting to be King of the Ring since he was like 10, when he had decided he was going to become a wrestler. He's like, that's the one thing he wants to do. And we talked about it last week. We don't think he'll probably ever get a WWE championship. It just depends because he is not the typical height for the champions that Vince McMahon prefers. So all he wanted was King of the Ring. The King of the Ring tournament comes and goes whenever it feels like it. It used to be a yearly thing in the, mid to late 90s to early 2000s, but then it was discontinued for like years and years, and then they would have one like sporadically. So he's always wanted to be King of the Ring, but King of the Ring has not been consistent during his stint at WWE. I think there were like two or three tournaments. He's been in the WWE for at least like on the main roster for 7 years. In that 7 years, I think this is probably the fourth King of the Ring, something to that effect. Don't quote me on that, but everybody, this was the only storyline going into this tournament that anybody really cared about, because we all knew his passion for it, because he talks about it for years, like when there's never been a tournament. So it was so great that WWE did not try to do a swerve, like a twist or anything like that. Just put the crown on the man that the whole crowd knows wants it, and who also is really good at character work, which I'm pretty sure you see in this clip here,
yes.
That just do it. And they did it. And I was like, I was legit like half crying watching Crown Jewel. I was like, oh my God, they did it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was such a great moment. And to see him and Kofi come out here and just be goofy and talking about how he's going to set up his reign. I cannot, like, I literally cannot wait to see what happens next when it comes to them. So yeah, this was so, so, so fun. Kelsey, what did you think?
I loved it. It was so full of energy. Like, I just loved how energetic it was and how well they worked together. Like, we were talking about like tag team partners in the ring, like working really well together. But I feel like this, they weren't even fighting, but they clearly like are great partners together. Like, I assume they're partners together.
Yeah. They're the New Day.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, they just seem to play off each other really well and like keep the energy up and exciting. And I really liked it.
Yeah. And sorry, Geneva. Yeah. What did you think?
Yeah. And I think even with that backstory, Mari, I think it makes it even more exciting and like more of a happy moment to see and witness. Although at first I was like, why is he holding the mic sideways like that?
I found that very strange.
But I had that same thought. I was like, okay, that's a little strange. But otherwise, you know, I loved hearing his speech, you know, how much like it really meant to him.
Sophisticated.
And, you know, they were part of his dream and they helped make his dream a reality. So I think it was just kind of like, it was, you know, it was a pretty fun moment. And so I really did enjoy watching it. But the mic thing was the one thing that stood out to me, like, why are you holding your mic like this? But, you know, alas, it was good.
Xavier Woods always does that because it's like, it's another thing to make him stand out. And it's just so, just so funny. It's like, it's so pompous. It feels like it really does.
Like he's holding a champagne glass.
Exactly. Like an ear horn.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah. Just like, it's nice to see, we got to see the upgrade of his character in real time, like with the crown, the scepter, the cloak of protection was another thing. To me, if I maybe this is just because he's such like a video game nerd, you know, like kind of guy, but I got like Power Rangers vibes. I feel like he just like defeated the biggest villain and he was just being celebrated for it and it was amazing. But I thought that this was great, and it's cool that, you know, Xavier Woods is being given more by his name, because I think at Crown Jewel that when they introduced him, it was like, and please welcome a member of the New Day, Xavier Woods. It's not like they listed accolades. And so at least he has this accolade to go by his name for this foreseeable future.
Outside of the tag team, because
exactly.
Yeah. Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston and Big E they're all a part of the New Day faction, and Kofi Kingston and Big E is the current WWE champion. We just haven't talked about him today because he got a really good win over Drew at Crown Jewel, but it was just like a transitional thing. Like, it was just like it was a great match, but we knew what was going to happen. And Kofi Kingston was the first black WWE champion. He was the first one. The Farouk stuff is still kind of questionable. The Rock stuff is questionable.
One of the very few.
There's not been many black men who have been WWE champions. And so Kofi was crowned about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then Big E just won from another. So Xavier Woods, this is one of, and they've been like 11-time tag team champions. So they are a really good group. They are like one of the most like decorated tag teams of all time, arguably one of the greatest tag teams factions, if you will, of all time. But this is basically the first time that Xavier has had a title outside of the tag team, because he was the one who seems to be, if I'm going to put this in relatable terms, he's like the Michelle of the group in a sense when it comes to how people can view him, even though, again, still good.
Yes.
You know.
Perfect comparison.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we're so happy for him. Plus, whoever gets the King of the Ring gimmick, they basically have to, they get a King gimmick. So they have to make the gimmick work. And very few people can really do that in a a way that matters. So it's going to be so interesting to see him in this gimmick. I hope they continue this. Kofi Kingston reading the scroll. Like, I need Kofi Kingston to be his town crier. Like, yeah. I need that.
He was a lot, but it was great. I mean, it goes along with the whole bit. So it worked out very well. But I was just like, yeah, this crown shall serve as a physical representation of the respect that you've earned and that you shall now receive today and forever till the end of time. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but you know, I guess.
May we all have such a hype man. Like,
I know, exactly. I need that.
Yeah.
This is so fun. And again, a lot of this for SmackDown, why I didn't send so much, it was like setup. Like, this is a setup. I thought maybe somebody would run out and interrupt, but I think this was a good call that they just let him like bask in the moment and then figure out what they're going to go with next week. They probably hadn't come up with a program for him yet. So this is good. We'll see how that goes. And then like a lot of, we got a few rematches from Crown Jewel as well that night. So that's why it was just like, it was like definitely a cooling off SmackDown. It's like, well, let's address what we need to address from the previous night.
Just like
a fun. Yeah. And then we'll see, we'll start with the actual like legit getting into the new storylines next week. And that's very much what I got from this episode. So the final thing I want us to talk about before we have to go is Hit Row's debut. So again, Hit Row was drafted to SmackDown during the draft. And last night was their debut. They're like a faction. And they had like a quick squash match over some jobbers. But our question to you guys is, with no context, what did you think of Hit Row here? We'll start with Kelsey.
They seemed fun. I liked their little rehearsed speech. And it seemed like they played well off of each other and they were like excited about each other. And it was fun how they were like introducing themselves and everything. Yeah. So it seemed like they were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the our favorites, a lot of our guests always want updates on Hit Row. Geneva, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought they were a dynamic group. It was really interesting just to kind of see their personalities like blend together and to see like, you know, hear what they had to say about themselves. Cause I was like, I was like, wait, are they performers? I was like, no, they're not really, but you know, and then going in to see actually like Hit Row compete. I just thought my favorite line from the actual like the SmackDown competition was when all of Wichita was on top of Top Dollar right now. I just thought that was a great line from the commentator, just because he literally was carrying both of them, which was like insane.
It's like me leaving the park with my toddlers. It's like,
it's the one on under each arm, one on top. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, and this happen?
The one thing I would say, their presentation, they really should have thought it through a little bit better, just because Hit Row, they are like kind of like, it's kind of like a loose, like they're a rap group, because three of them are actual like rapper singers. Like B-Fab is like a singer rapper. Top Dollar is a rapper. And so is Isaiah Swerve Scott. He's a rapper. Shanti the Adonis is there and he's reciting his lines.
It's interesting.
Is he the one producer? The three of C's one.
There you go. You know what? He is behind the keyboards every time like they're in the studio point. Think about it. He is the one sitting down whenever they're like,
well, that's why I think at first I was like, oh, so this is like a rap group. But then I was this is, but technically no. Well, I mean, yes, but no, you know.
And that's why I said the presentation was a little off, because they left their music on. When it's like, but they weren't trying to be on beat with the music. They should have, you know, they dimmed their music. They should have turned it off and just let them do their spoken. They do like sometimes in the ring, they either will rap. We've seen them do like an actual rap performance with a beat and all of that. Or they'll just do like a spoken word type of thing as they're coming down to the ring, which is why I think that's what they were trying to do. But it was very confusing when they also had the beat under them. And I don't know if the people in the back don't understand how that is off-putting for people who know. Yeah, it's distracting audio-wise. For people who know what rap should sound like. So turn that down, turn that off, let them just recite their lines lyrically the way they want to recite it. And it's way better than you putting a random track under them.
Well, or just have a, like, it's great that they had the track under. It's not great. Well, because I noticed BFAB at the beginning was like, cut the music. And then they didn't cut the music. And then they had like, the other words under. But I think it's just like, give them a beat classic to work with. Like, I feel like someone was like, ooh, this sounds really good. Let's let it keep going. They sound, and it did sound like they sound good. I like when they have the music in the background because it adds something.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't give them like the flexibility to react to the crowd.
Exactly.
As they might.
They should
do.
Have a beatboxer.
Yeah.
That I mean,
that might cross a line. No, I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing. No, it, but that's the thing. So yeah. In NXT, their song that's playing the hit row, like that's them. So they've actually performed their song to their ring, which I think is way better. Like if you're going to do something that like, because it's the same words, it is like it, you know, but it's hard to do because if your walk to the ring is like a 30 seconds to a minute, you know, you kind of want to get it all in there. So it makes sense that they would just do their promos to the ring, which is what a lot of people do. Again, it's just weird. Don't turn the beat off. If BFAB says turn the beat, turn it off.
Yeah, like, listening.
She knows.
Yeah. Who did BFAB record with? I know I should. Ooh, I know forget. This. But it was someone who is a big deal and I don't remember and I'm ashamed. But yeah, like I don't know. This was awesome still. I want to just put over how amazing it is just to see them like exist in the wrestling world anyway, because they're so different than a lot of what's existed. We'll see where it goes though.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was good to watch.
That's all we could ask for, right?
Yes. All right. So yeah, Hit Row makes her debut. Can't wait to see what happens with them next. Hopefully they'll figure out that music, those music cues, whoever's in production back there. But that wraps up the highlights of the week. All the highlights of the week can be found in your show notes or in our description on YouTube. Hopefully you were following along. And before we go, before we wrap up and do our plugs and all of that, Kelsey, what was your favorite thing that you saw over the week? Tell us, like, what's the lasting impression you're taking away from your second time here? Give us your thoughts.
The Sopranos storyline. I'm taking that with me. I'm so curious what's going to happen with the producer. If like he's going to come out and they're going to fight each other in the ring. Like I'm so, I enjoy that. It's like just a story. So, or I mean, there's a lot of it, but yeah, it's almost like a mystery. So I'm taking that with me. That's what's still on my brain.
That's funny. I could also see like the producer showing back up and then Tony D'Angelo walking backstage and the producer sees him and like runs away.
Yes. There's so much they could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They bring the car on the ring and then he pops out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to ever see that producer ever again.
Ever again.
I don't think anyone's going to see that producer again.
The fishes.
Yeah. Forget about it.
Yeah. Forget about it. Geneva, what about you? What was one of the things, your takeaways from this week?
Oh, takeaways? Well, I don't know about takeaways, but I just think one thing that I'll just remember is just, you know, Brock Lesnar, just in general. Yeah. And you know, and Roman Reigns. I just think that's going to be something to remember for a long time. It definitely like, I literally just had like a shocked look on my face, like where I saw it all went down. I was like, whether this is acting or not, I was just like, this is a mess. When I saw the camera thrown, I was like, uh-oh, like this has gotten ripped pants. I was just like, this is chaotic. And then of course, cause you know, Matt mentioned the theme that we're seeing this week, these, you know, family ties, you know, Indian Dexter. And that beautiful love story and Johnny and all that whole involvement and that whole dynamic, I think, is also something I will remember.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. So thank you so much for we are so glad you guys could come on here. We're glad to have you. Of course, you know, we might reach out again, have you back on if you want to come back on. No pressure. But Kelsey, can you tell the people where they can find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at K Razmondi, I believe. Or is it Kelsey Razmondi? Oh, shoot.
I think it's K Razmondi.
Is it Kelsey?
No, it's just K.
Just K. Okay, great. K Razmondi.
I don't, that tells you how much she goes on her Twitter.
I don't tweet at myself very much. So I don't ever have to type my own username very much. But yes, at K Razmondi, I'm on Twitter. Watch a lot of the shows, the RHAP shows, watching Survivor right now. So yeah, I really enjoyed being on today and tapping back into the wrestling world. It's always fun to see what they're all up to.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Geneva, where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me at Peace Love Jen. Matt said it at the very beginning in my mm-hmm. wonderful introduction. That's where I tweet about life, reality TV. So right now, Dancing with the Stars, Bachelorette. I'm tweeting about Survivor. I'm tweeting about anything that's going on, basically. I just tweet too much. That's kind of my thing. So if you want more,
no such thing.
I tweet a lot. If you want more tweets, you can follow me there. And then you can also support Silent Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. We have a lot of different content over there. We're covering Penthouse. If you watch that, Matt did a wonderful coverage of Black Widow Brigade, which was lovely to have. And then we got some Project Runway coming. We have a lot of different content to come soon. So definitely find us on social media and find us on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all those fun platforms. And thank you so much for inviting me, Matt and Mari. I had a fun time, and you know, I might check out some clips in the future of some of these contests to find out the aftermath of some of these events.
Awesome. So glad to hear that. Matt, what have you been up to?
You know, keeping it simple. Geneva mentioned the Black Widow Brigade podcast over on Silent Podcasts, where we are anything but silent. It was good to be able to do that. I don't think there's any more Black Widow Brigade content coming up for this season of the show. But yeah, just had fun talking about that with LaTanya Starks and Grace Leader, who have both been part of the Wrestling Rehab Up. And, you know, other than that, I'm here at the Wrestling Rehab Up, talking wrestling. And you could find me at Matt Scotchy W. Follow me on Twitter and tweet me about all the things. Call me out for things I said. Seriously, not seriously. It's fine. Probably won't block you. May or may not block you. Hopefully not. But, you know, no. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And Mari, where could the people find you?
Okay, so you can always follow me on Twitter, and I guess both of us on Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two.
The number.
Yeah, the number. Last week I was on the Challenge podcast talking with Brian about the challenge. Loved doing that. And of course, so happy to announce that me, Chappelle, and LaTanya Starks are going to be on post-show recaps this season, recapping the fifth and final season of Insecure on HBO. So please come and check us out. We will be doing weekly episode recaps. They should drop on like Tuesdays, by Tuesday at least. But I'm so, so happy to talk about one of my favorite, most groundbreaking shows on its final season. I feel like talking about it is the only way that's going to get me through the sadness of it leaving. So I'm so glad that we can bring this to PSR, and thanks to Josh for letting us do this. And I'm so excited. We just dropped a preview podcast for it. So this is the fifth season. So we try to recap season 1 through 4, which is so much to get through. So yeah, stick with us on that. But it was so fun. It's so great. Me, LaTanya, and Chappelle are just cutting up half the time. So yeah, definitely go check it out. Tell a friend, like Sasha would say, and go support us with that.
Awesome.
But,
now what do we do?
Yep, that's it. That is literally it. But we also want to remind you guys to please rate and review Wrestling Rehab Up on your wrestling feed. Just you can always email us again. Send your emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, and we will see you guys next week.
Well,
you know, watch out for any flying elbows. Goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.